everything is unfolding exactly as I said it would. Because I've been studying these people for a long time. And I want to let you know, folks, that they're establishing Maoist-style brigades across Europe and the United States that will be the general public in uniforms enforcing forced inoculation. They're going to use peer pressure to do it. And they're going to use a medical tyranny because they can claim that it's, quote, ideological. Now, this is exactly what I would do if I was going to be taking over like this. And we have all the documents. We know that they're the ones that are behind it. That's all coming out. We'll explain why. But first, here's the premiere of this report on Democrat governors calling for brown shirt armies.
Former President Bill Clinton recently spoke with governors from New York and California about the need for a national contact tracing corps.
We need tracing agents in the hundreds and hundreds of people, right? You take the test and then you trace back all the contacts. It's never been done on this scale before. This is an army of tracers. They're basically investigators. We will do that the best we can with a seven-state consortium. But it could have been done from the federal government on a much tighter, more efficient basis.
You know, I agree with you on this. This contact tracing is very important, and it could enable our entire country for the first time to have a real public health system, a real public health core. And I've thought about it in a lot of different ways. Could we make this a part of AmeriCorps and encourage people to come and do this work and earn some credits to go to college, for example? Is there some other way we could do it? But I know that my friend, whom you know well, Paul Farmer, is heading up a program for Massachusetts now to try to get a state contact tracing core. Do you think maybe you could get the governors to ask the Congress to fund that as a part of all this money they're giving you? Or maybe it's legal now to spend some of the money. But we need a national core of healthy people who are properly trained to go out and do this contact tracing. We need the bodies.
State health agencies are already hiring contact tracers nationwide. They're hiring inexperienced laypeople who lost their jobs during the CCP virus shutdown.
Governor Baker invited us to be part of a consortium and to offer some of the insights and experience we've had in other countries in hiring and training a group, really a whole cadre of community health workers or contact tracers, rather. I can't help but say community health workers. And they would be virtually trained. They are being virtually trained and deployed right now. What we would do with this is that we would, this virtual group of contact tracers would contact anybody who has tested positive to learn about their recent activities, who they may have been in contact with. We had something like 7,000 people, 9,000 people apply within the first couple of days to be contact tracers so that we can actually use people who are out of place, out of work rather, who can be trained, even lay people, to do this work. It felt like a good thing for the economy also.
But one of the things that you have to be able to do is to track people who are positive. Should we have a contact tracer core, even if we call it something more elegant? Should we really build the first public health network we've ever really built in this country around this issue?
I think the answer is absolutely yes. And that's just going to require an army of folks.
California and New York, under the guidance of the Clinton Foundation and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, are following the globalist script of the World Health Organization.
Now we need to go and look in families to find those people who may be sick and remove them and isolate them in a safe and dignified manner.
For InfoWars.com, this is Greg Reese.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Live from the InfoWars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
We're now inside the New World Order. We're now inside the kill grid cage. If you comply, if you go along with the slowly tightening boa constrictor that's wrapped around you, you will be bankrupted, you will be poor, you will be sick, you will be slowly killed. This is not a science fiction nightmare dystopia. This is reality. When I read, none dare call it conspiracy, that was written the year I was born, 1974, and I went and looked up at the library, the articles that it quoted with David Rockefeller praising communism and Mao Zedong and saying that he was going to bring communism to America, I was blown away. In the old days before the internet had any functionality, 1991, 92, 93, I'd have high school friends like Shane Steiner come over to the house sometimes and he'd say, why do you have all these news clippings and books and stuff? You know, let's go have a barbecue and out by the lake, get some girls out there, which we did. But I was like, listen, these are the people that run the country and they say they're going to overthrow things slowly and destroy the family and do this. We've got to fight this. So that's the only reason I'm on air today, is that I was big into reading history books and I happened to read some that claims of Zbigniew Brzezinski did all these horrible things, the National Security Advisor under Jimmy Carter. And I actually went and I actually looked it up. And I found out it was all true because I went and read his books. So I was thinking about this this morning. When I woke up about 4 a.m., couldn't go back to sleep. I sit there and I talk to generals on the phone and I talk to high-powered lawyers on the phone and I talk to the president on the phone and all these people. And I'm telling them this stuff. And they're like, you're kidding. And I'm like, no. The Nobel Prize winner for discovering HIV says it's a man-made virus. I mean, did you hear what I just said? That one fact can stop all this hysteria, the total shutdown, the end of our world as we know it. You see what's behind me? From the movie 1964, Dr. Strangelove, Stanley Kubrick's masterpiece. I believe more important than 2001 Space Odyssey, because it was put in the form of a dark comedy because people couldn't handle the super serious topic if it wasn't. The greatest film ever made. And you see those dots coming in over Russia. Those are the B-52 bombers that are going to drop hydrogen bombs on it. And then the Russians are going to detonate their doomsday bomb, which is a metaphor for nuclear war. Though those weapons do exist, the Air Force admits they have antimatter weapons that would destroy the entire solar system. Yeah, that's where we're at. And so those lines are coming in to bomb those cities. You bomb them, they bomb us, we die. Now imagine if one of those Russian cities got nuked and 1 million people, 5 million people died. That would be a huge war crime. It'd be a terrible thing if General Jack T. Ripper had his way and got away with it. But this isn't hydrogen bombs that are being dropped. This is cutting off the infrastructure for us here in the first world, bringing us to third world status and bringing the third world to starvation, mass collapse, death status. So these planes coming in to drop hydrogen bombs are already over the targets, and they're already killing Hundreds of thousands of people a week are now starving to death, according to the UN themselves. And by the way, those numbers are accurate. But notice, it's the UN launching this, cutting off the economy, directing it, our new boss, the WHO, the gold standard. But with the other hand, they've got David Beasley, a well-spoken American, who probably is a good person, going, please help us. We need hundreds of millions of dollars donated right now. Everybody's dying. So they create the problem, and then they have the solution. And I'm going to show you clips of him talking about that. Now, I'm here with the biggest news. There's more news today than every day before for 26 years I've covered. We've now reached that quickening point where the news here is more news and more information than I covered in the last 26 years. It's all, and it's going to get double tomorrow. It's just going to get crazier and crazier. And all of a sudden you'll be like, what are all these combat robots here, you know, doing? Well, they're here to protect you. But if you get out of line, they're going to kill you. But first, they have business with your parts. The Central Committee does. You see, this is a scientific dictatorship. Communism is just the low-level term they give it, but it's something a little different. And I studied this cat, this animal, because I'm a vestigial throwback, which is actually a jump forward, just like you are, to an idea of empowering humanity and raising it up and betting that it would produce more success and more beauty and more power for humanity. And it does. But it also produces decadence because people don't respect it. And so we're now about to lose all of it. Now, I wondered why there were New York Times articles and 60 Minutes specials that I was so busy I didn't even watch. I just said, give me a transcript. Attacking yours truly. And it was people like the High Priestess Lady and Fiona Hill saying, hey, you need to stop. Let's meet. Let's be friends. Because in political DC inside stuff, that means, you know, stop. Well, you're not stopping. But see, that was only the open door for a meeting with those individuals with the other folks. But see, I'm so busy, I just totally ignore the calls. I've already been up to the D.C. law firms when, you know, one of the top billionaires is trying to get me to join the club. And they're just like, hey, you're not taking our calls. We're going to kill you or indict you. And I'm like, fire weapons. I mean, I'm not a pissing contest. I can't join Satan and killing my own species. And so they've got the SWAT teams ready, folks. They've got the drones overhead. They've got the FBI agents right outside. They got it all ready because the bosses are saying Jones ain't taking our deal. So I'm just saying, pull the trigger, man. Let's get it going. Because you and your families are all going to be destroyed by the people you work for. And I cannot join in with you. It's not a pissing contest. It's not that I'm this crazy guy with all this machismo and I've just got so much courage. I don't have courage. I'm scared of God, man. You think I could like live a few more years watching everybody die of vaccines that are tainted and watch this giant medical experiment because I'm part of the elite and I sit up at my big mountain house with my jet copter and we had to kill everybody to save the earth. It was hard, but I did it because I'm good and I made the hard decisions. I'm a social Darwinist and I just knew that it's sad to personalize these people, but, you know, we had to kill them. So just know that what I'm telling you here on air, I'm willing to die for and probably will because of it, but that's okay because the only way out of this is fighting. This is not an exercise in courage. It's an exercise in survival for the species. If I survive another 20 years groveling to these people, that's a living death. But if I die and the species makes it the next level, then it's total success. Our entire species history is now bet on this moment now. We cannot give up on what we were and who we will be.
Live from Austin. Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide. It's Alex Jones.
You know, people say to me, they say, Alex, we see you demonized on 60 Minutes and on CNN every day, every week. How are you handling it? And the reason I bring this point up is we have to change the way we think. I'm handling things fine. I'm built for this. But I have such sorrow for humanity and our children. It's not InfoWars that's dying. It's not InfoWars that's possibly in its last days. It's America. This is the real world, ladies and gentlemen. This is what we've turned into. This is what we have become. And a bunch of weak followers summon and conjure wolves. But a wolf is out eating sheep. A wolf is out eating deer. It's mean to call these people wolves, because wolves don't deserve that. So it really is just something people have to go through, don't they? It's weather cycles until you value freedom again. I know this audience values it because your background, your history, what you experienced, your spiritual connections. But here in the end game, the very worst things in human history are about to all be magnified all at once. And people who are in denial by the end of it are just going to be committing suicide en masse. And there'll be robots pulling up to your door with a little, you know, government prescription to, good, you're ending it for the planet. You have cut the load on the carbon. Because they're taking the infrastructure out. And they're teaching everyone that only certain people are essential. And that idea is beyond the Nazis. Everything being done is a cold-blooded scientific dictatorship. Every bit of it planned in white papers and in battle drills by the big corporate global world. And when you watch Bill Gates getting all these awards for eugenics and depopulation at these events, we'll play a few clips of it in a moment. They always say, well, government wouldn't do its job, so Bill Gates stepped up. But that means the big money behind Bill Gates, the robber barons, stepped up. And they used the free market, the monopoly capitalism to buy up all the infrastructure. So now they're in control. And they're going to hurt you really bad. Now, the instinctive thing at a very primitive level is to get violent. What, against the cop down the street that's just as dumb as the average person, doesn't know what's going on, just as ignorant? No. That's not the state. This isn't even the state. This is a cult, a power cult that infests corporations, private lives, governments, institutions. They're mad scientists. And they're the scientists, and they've got their act together. They're organized, and they believe that it's survival of the fittest, social Darwinism, better learn these terms quick. And it's their duty to be strong and to carry this out. And they're very sad that they have to do it. But that if they can force their will on you, that that's their divine right, and because you buckled, you deserve it. I've been around some of these people. And again, I've had them try to get me to join them. And there's a coldness and an emptiness and just a feeling of depression and failure around them that I don't feel anywhere else. When I'm ready to die for humanity, when I don't have fear, and when I'm standing up, man, I feel so good. And things are so beautiful, and I can literally just see through things. But even being near these people, I feel spiritual death, because God like oxygen is being sucked out of the room. And like, you want to join these people? Feel this. It's the worst torture you could imagine, because you start feeling the betrayal of all the innocents and all the children and all the destroyed cultures and civilizations and all the dreams. It's not a dream catcher, it's a dream destroyer. And you're like, how would anyone serve this? So this is the end of everything. They're never going to open up again. They're never going to, things are never going back to normal until you just say no. I mean, I started the show and I said, I've never had this much news to cover, because the problem just gets worse and worse by the day, because you can't just mention one of these articles and not go into it, because it becomes a lie if you don't analyze it. You're just putting out the emblematic statement instead of like drilling down to the core of it. I could talk for 10 hours conservatively on the one statement of Trump to take action against China and WHO over COVID-19. That is a incredibly positive thing, but it means so much and is so dangerous. That's one story in the stack. Look at the, this is probably 300 articles. And so if I am crazy, it's that I probably scanned over half of these today and read a bunch of them. I mean, I just sit here studying it, and then by the time I get on air, I'm like overprepared. Because one of these stories is earth-shaking. A U.S. president is saying China and the WHO will pay. Makes me so proud to support Trump at that moment. And then I spent 30 minutes today checking into this. 30 minutes for me is a lot of time. I probably spent, what does it matter? This is a nightmare right here. But then I understand what Trump's doing. Trump's Operation Warp Speed aims to rush coronavirus vaccine. You know, they've been whetting our appetite, saying, oh, 2 years, 3 years, oh, maybe a year and a half. You're like, oh, you can't get this. This is too explosive. And I mean, obviously, I'm like, no, they're going to have the vaccine this year, folks. They're going to have it by the fall. Bill and Melinda Gates have the coronavirus chimera patented, and they've got it ready to put in the solution. They've got the vaccine. And here it is right here. Bill and Melinda Gates run the whole thing. I mean, you just, you know the next piece of it, because I already know the whole backstory. So that's another big story. Then mainstream news comes out and says, okay, Fauci helped weaponize viruses at the Wuhan lab. Now, of course, you heard that 11 weeks ago with Dr. Boyle on the show. But why is that coming out and being said now? And that's just the tip of the iceberg, ladies and gentlemen. Here's the truth. Everybody that thinks bending over gets you ahead is about to find out it gets you destroyed. The time for appeasement is over. The time for action.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
As a child, I saw amazing things happen, because I didn't realize what was going on. The enemy knew what we were going to do and did a lot of horrible things to me to stop us from being at this point. And that's not something special. It's incredibly special. And I know a lot of you have experienced as well. Can you imagine the spiritual war that goes on to get women to kill their sons and daughters? The incredible people we've lost in God's plan. Now we've been taught to devalue human life. I've noticed how God works in mysterious ways. You know, billions of people have been aborted. And so billions of us are going to die. And we deserve it. But Bill Gates and the New World Order are not the righteous executioners of God's wrath. They are the midwives of this satanic system that progenerated everything we've already witnessed. So earlier you heard me list a few of the articles. There's like 10 more gigantic stories after that. Each one bone shaking. National brigades coming to forcibly inoculate you and your family, reporting and tracking with dogs that, quote, smell COVID. Oh, but it's not political. It's for everyone's safety. But it's the Democrats and the WHO with all their fake models and all their lies and Fauci running the lab. I mean, do you just think Francis Boyle just came on here and said, oh, Fauci gave him this system? He didn't just get that out of the news. He got that from his sources. And he risked his life to tell you that. And I'm not just putting that out there like, oh, we're heroes or something. I'm trying to explain, like, this isn't a game, ladies and gentlemen. We're not playing a game of volleyball here or tiddlywinks. This is life and death for the whole future of everything. So everybody out there that keeps wanting to kiss the ass of evil, think you're going to get ahead, you're about to get hurt really bad. It's not from me. By the way, I'm a nonviolent guy offensively. I don't want violence against Bill Gates or any of these people. They got God to deal with. I just want all of you that have Stockholm Syndrome, not our regular audience, but the general public that tunes in to the show, because we're verboten and we're still on the air. This morning I got up at like 5 a.m., had coffee, went out to the local Greenbelt, hiked a few miles, hiking back, the sun's coming up, and I run into people where there'd be like 15-foot wide paths, and they'd be running with masks on. And then they like get all scared, and like this little virtue signal dance. And I'm like, why are you out here? But that's the wicked flee with none pursuit, because their whole lives groveling, going along, got them ahead. But that was all the training. It's like having a cow. And you know, my grandfather probably usually only had 100 cows or so. He didn't like to run too many on the ranch. He just got the tax exemption with that. But, I mean, these things would come up, and he'd feed them range cubes and pet them and everything else. And then I remember being like 5 years old, and they said, well, we're going to butcher one of these yearling calves. You know, it's not a little calf. It's big, but it's not veal, but it tastes as good as veal. It's about a third the size a regular cow gets up to. And we're not happy about this, and we like this cow, but we're going to shoot it in the head. Let's go to the barn. Get some range cubes. Yeah, we like them, but these are the animals. What we do here? Here's a 22, and he's not going to feel anything, but we're just going to shoot him in the head. Now we're going to tie him up with chains, cut him up, and that next day, they said, here's Sam, and I was eating this T-bone. And that was just normal farming. It wasn't a mean thing. I was being taught how to process something. I remember that cow had little white curls, little red face, little sweet little thing, little 22 rifle right to the head. And why do I tell that story? Because that's how the globalists treat you, and that's how they see you. They're just killing an animal. They're just rendering you down. And because you don't stand up and you don't say no, they think they're allowed to. And psychology is not God, but a lot of it's true, because it just names activities and behaviors that are already known and already accepted. And so they just index it and then create a language around it. Like could you say English language is reality? No, it's a way of describing things. Or is Arabic the only God's language? No, it's just a way of describing it. Or is German, or is Russian, or is Japanese? It's just a system of seeing things. So when you hear about Stockholm Syndrome developed in Sweden, where they found that kidnapped prisoners, particularly women, who are grabbed by people that hold them for a year in captivity, rape them, torture them, the women start defending the captors. Because if they were there every day hating this person that's raping them and hating this person that's beating them, they would go crazy because they don't have a way out. They can't fight their way out. So they the mind has a switch it throws where it starts defending the abuse. And that's what this is. It's mass Stockholm syndrome. And those of us that submit to the Stockholm syndrome empower these people that are under it. Because the average person's deep down is scared by the lockdown and the dystopian nature. So they want to just believe that, hey, it'll all be over if we're just nice. But you notice Governor Newsom just said, he's the leader of this thing at this level under the Clinton Foundation. He just said, sorry, the beaches are all closed. This is going to go for years. We're going to have people come to your house to make sure you've got your vaccines and to make sure you're allowed to go out. And we're going to come after you. And every few months, it'll be on the billboards. It'll be on your text alerts. Wear your mask. Wear your mask. And if you don't, they're going to have a group of people break your ribs. See, they've decided the Maoist model that worked in China. You think it was easy? Back when there were 600 million Chinese, to make them all leave their farms and go to collectivist farms and starve to death. No, they fought. But they learned to get the youth, you see, and go, oh, your parents don't know. And first Mao's like, oh, send your youth. We'll train them on how to have electricity and how to have water and how to shoot guns. And then the Chinese were like, oh, yes. They're like, yeah, we're after the Japanese hurt us really bad, we're rebuilding. And the Chinese are like, oh, here, let me send my kids. And their kids came back all arrogant. And they would get rewards for ratting out their parents and grandparents. And that's who the, because if you'll do that to your mother and your father and your grandparents, they would get promoted to the party because they were psychotics. It was just a few percent. But like, if you'll report your mom and dad, if you'll sell your people out, they were all being tested. You know, like the Nazis would, the SS would have them raise a German Shepherd or a puppy for a couple years when they were in the Hitler Youth. And then they had to strangle that dog to prove they follow orders. Well, forget that. You have to kill your parents to join the Communist Party China. Xi Jinping's father was destroyed by them. And he said, screw my father. I love the Communist Party China. He betrayed his father who fought them. And so now he is the leader because he betrayed his family. I'm not going to betray my family. And my family's you, the people of the world, no matter what color you are, where you came from. If you want a future and you love other people, then I'm your brother and I'm your sister and I'm your son and I'm your daughter and I'm your grandparents and you're my grandparents. And we're together. And I will be tortured to death and die, no matter how bad it is, before I betray any of you. And I swear eternal allegiance with Jesus Christ and you. These people think there isn't a God. They think they're God, but they will be destroyed. Their time of destruction is close. All right, let's engage in some informational mathematics. Let's engage in reality. 2 + 2 = 4. It's a very simple act of addition. Bill Gates says 1 in 10,000 have a bad reaction to his fictional vaccine. If you go look up even the CDC's own reports, a new vaccine is getting reports of 1 in 100 or so. An experimental vaccine, even more dangerous. So they've set the precedent to give people things that cause death and massive health problems, autoimmune disorders, lowering of the immune system. This is all confirmed. And why did Bill Gates come out in all these interviews and say, oh, actually, we need liability protection for this new vaccine because 700,000 people are going to get sick and die. I'll play the clip in a moment. Some will get sick, some will die. It's a side effect death. Now, you try to put on Facebook an insert of a flu vaccine saying it can kill you, that it's got fetal tissue in it. They'll ban your ass. Just like medical doctors coming out and saying almost no one's sick. This is a giant hoax. Your ass is banned. Because that's how free speech works. When you don't support the dumbass KKK speech, your speech is gone the next year, which it is now. Oh, it's a private company. Now they're saying they're listening to your phone calls and they're all digital. They're going to block those. This is a total takeover in live time, spying on you. When they're watching what you say in live time, that's surveillance. So let me do my best here. Let's do this math. Bill Gates says that, 700,000 people, when we give everybody this vaccine, are going to get sick or have problems. Death's a problem for some of them. We're never talking again, or you're 30 years old, your parents are changing your diapers. That's a problem. Weighs down everything. Oh, but don't worry. They're going to pass laws. You can kill that autistic son. It is the son, isn't it? Just like Pharaoh said, you're going to give me your firstborn. Some girls in the genetic studies get past the information. Those turn out to be queens. But men in the first generation are passed on the genetic memory. And that's what they're trying to stop, is that genetic memory. Men are given genetic memory so they can expend themselves in defense of the species. It's what men are supposed to do. Men are expendable. But now men think playing golf and acting tough is what a man is supposed to do. And so they don't stand up. And so they wonder why the women now worship at the feet of the beast. And the women, the news is like, they're the ones that accept it. And they understand how good it is. They virtue signal and they feel good as 100+ million people starve to death. It was 2 million, they said. And they went, oh, actually, it's 33 million. Oh, it's 100 million. Because no one even put the logic together. Wait, you're the ones behind it. But now you're the ones telling us about it. Oh, their models of COVID were 20, 30, 40 times higher than they should have been. That was all fraud. And of course, they had the vaccine already ready. We already told you that. People go, well, actually, they patented the virus, Alex. The vaccine isn't ready. It's like saying I have the bullets and I have the gun, but the bullets aren't in the gun yet. It's all childlike crap. The whole thing has been massively planned on record. And they are admitting it's to, quote, lower the carbon footprint and save the earth. This whole thing is a convince humans to starve to death and kill themselves and take sterilants. And I understand for people that have Stockholm syndrome who are scared. You just think this is too scary. This is too scary. I'll do whatever I'm told. You don't get out of this acting like that. I mean, I'm tough, but I don't like the stuff I know they've got in store for me. But you know what? I'm ready, and I actually kind of look forward to it, because that's what it takes to defeat these people, is total commitment. And I want our species going on forever. I want those victories. I want to defeat these people, and I am so honored to be here. But you need to have that attitude, not like sacrificing is something tough or something you gave up, or, oh, Alex, thank you for what you do. Thank me for what I do? Fighting a bunch of satanic devil worshipers? How the hell am I supposed to give up or join them? Can't do it. Can't sell out. Can't betray. Can't back down. Default. War. How do you think we got here? Who do you think you are? What the hell? This ain't some heroic action. Sucking air into my lungs isn't some heroic action. It's because I'm alive till the day I die and my soul's eternal. And I will not be damned to hell. I will get away from these people. My one desire is to not be around devil worshipers and New World Order people. But we're a planet. And they're in control of it. But here's the pretty part about it. God's in control of the universe. And that's what I get, is to be away from them. And to be with all the other people that are good. Can you imagine how good that's going to be? I'm going to be with my grandparents. and all those before him. I'm going to get to know them at a level way above human understanding and be able to interface with them. That is what this is all about, ladies and gentlemen, is the next level. And that's why you cannot bow in fear to the Satanists. They are pathetic. All right, I'm going to stop right there. I've got to cover all this news. You know, I started this hour and I told you that I was going to sit there and talk about 2 + 2 = 4. But what is 2 + 2 = 4? You got Bill Gates saying, yeah, this is going to hurt and kill a bunch of people. And then you've got his surrogates through the Clinton Foundation saying, we've got organizations and armies that are going to come out and track you and with dogs that smell you. And, I mean, you couldn't make this up. So I got something that's going to hurt you. And I got the general public given police power coming to make you do it. Full reports at newswars.com. Army of medical brown shirts being created on a national level. So here's the clip of Gates. Then we'll play the clip of Obama that's a few years old, but now it all makes sense. Here's Gates.
The efficacy of vaccines in older people is always a huge challenge. You know, it turns out the flu vaccine isn't that effective in elderly people. We clearly need a vaccine that works in the upper age range because they're most at risk of that. And doing that so that you amp it up so it works in older people and yet you don't have side effects. You know, if we have, you know, 1 in 10,000 side effects, that's, you know, way more, 700,000, you know, people who will suffer from that. And that actual decision of, okay, let's go and give this vaccine to the entire world, governments will have to be involved because there will be some risk and indemnification needed.
And then you read the president's report that Fauci put out, saying, oh, there is in Trump's plan, they're going to accelerate the vaccine. They say that's dangerous, but it's okay. It's even more dangerous. They're even telling you this is going to hurt some people. So they're going to get us used to, you get to go outside, but some of you are going to die when you take it. Well, it's a good price to pay. See, they can't hide the death anymore. They can't hide it. So it's like, oh, no, it's like human sacrifice. No, no. Some of you must die so that all of us live, even though it causes tens of millions to starve to death. And you're like, well, that doesn't even make sense. Not even 1 million dead worldwide on your own fake numbers, but millions and millions are dying. Tens of millions are dying. It's like, shut up. That's inaccurate information. You're banned off the internet. What a dystopic orgy. So here's the 2 + 2 = 4. He admits it's going to hurt some of you. And he's going to make you take it. And who's going to make you take it? Well, here's their army.
Continue to rely only on our military in order to achieve the national security objectives that we've set. We've got to have a civilian national security force that's just as powerful, just as strong, just as well-funded.
And it's Blue City, Blue State run.
Former President Bill Clinton recently spoke with governors from New York and California about the need for a national contact tracing corps.
We need tracing agents in the hundreds and hundreds of people, right? You take the test and then you trace back all the contacts. It's never been done on this scale before. This is an army of tracers. They're basically investigators. We will do that the best we can with this seven-state consortium. But it could have been done from the federal government on a much tighter, more efficient basis.
You know, I agree with you on this. This contact tracing is very important, and it could enable our entire country for the first time to have a real public health system, a real public health core. And I've thought about it in a lot of different ways. Could we make this a part of AmeriCorps and encourage people to come and do this work and earn some credits to go to college, for example. Is there some other way we could do it? But I know that my friend, whom you know well, Paul Farmer, is heading up a program for Massachusetts now to try to get a state contact tracing corps. Do you think maybe you could get the governors to ask the Congress to fund that as a part of all this money they're giving you? Or maybe it's legal now to spend some of the money, but we need a national corps of healthy people who are properly trained to go out and do this contact tracing. We need the bodies.
State health agencies are already hiring contact tracers nationwide. They're hiring inexperienced lay people who lost their jobs during the CCP virus shutdown.
Governor Baker invited us to be part of a consortium and to offer some of the insights and experience we've had in other countries in hiring and training a group, really a whole cadre of community health workers or contact tracers, rather. I can't help but say community health workers. And they would be virtually trained. They are being virtually trained and deployed right now. What we would do with this is that we would, this virtual group of contact tracers would contact anybody who has tested positive to learn about their recent activities, who they may have been in contact with. We had something like 7,000 people, 9,000 people apply within the first couple of days to be contact tracers so that we can actually use people who are out of place, out of work rather, who can be trained, even lay people, to do this work. It felt like a good thing for the economy also.
But one of the things that you have to be able to do is to track people who are positive. Should we have a contact tracer corps, even if we call it something more elegant? Should we really build the first public health network we've ever really built in this country around this issue?
I think the answer is absolutely yes. And that's just going to require an army of folks.
California and New York, under the guidance of the Clinton Foundation and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, are following the globalist script of the World Health Organization.
Now we need to go and look in families to find those people who may be sick and remove them and isolate them in a safe and dignified manner.
For InfoWars.com, this is Greg Reese.
There's a very simple equation. I'm talking about math today, but I'm talking about political, spiritual, economic math. You're going to get 2 billion people starving to death and giant civil wars in the next 10 years if this depression continues. That's what the numbers show, about 2 billion. And that'll always spill over, and India and Pakistan will have a nuclear war. That's where it'll start. Now, if they just throttle this back and forth, you'll get about 30, 40 million dead this year. Now, you add that, the COVID numbers doesn't even add up, does it? So, next time somebody's got their mask on, doing their little virtue signaling dance in front of you at some store, when the Texas governor said you don't have to wear the damn mask, just say, "You're a baby killer! Millions are starving to death, you Nazi!" That's what you tell them!
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
Always the frontal assault. Everybody else creeps around. That's not what we do. Man, I'm not at liberty yet to tell everybody about the latest developments. I forgot to put my watch on today. But you judge a man by his enemies. And the way these criminals shot their mouths off and things they did are just incredible crimes. And if these supposed high and mighty people at the Clinton Foundation and at the Soros Group don't know people are leaking stuff and giving us documents, if they don't know that when they really make moves like this, after they did this to Flynn and Stone, everybody else, that the world isn't pissed and their own people have had enough of them. What do you think once you sprung the lockdown and the checkpoints and the forced inoculations, you're going to have everyone turn against you. And you don't have your robots in force yet to cut the humans out of the equation. You don't have your protection units yet to be able to make humans obsolete. We've got the jump on you. And that's what's really amazing is God is in charge. God is in command. And I've just got to give it all to God. And I know you got to give it all to God. And I don't want to be cryptic here. Let me do this. Again, I'm sitting here last night and this morning getting ready for this broadcast. And I am looking at what's happening. And it is just unbelievably insane. David Beasley is the head of the World Food Program. And he says 130 plus million people are set to starve to death. And when he says that, it gets almost no coverage because of the lockdown. It's not COVID virus causes 130 million to be at the edge of starvation. Millions starving to death a month. That means dying. You talk about famine. You talk about pestilence. He comes out and talks about that, and it gets almost no coverage. Where is the president? The president should have this guy talk about checkmating the WHO. He should have, oh, the WHO is bad, but oh, you're good. Oh, you say everybody's starving to death. Oh, yeah, COVID, we have to. Oh, really? To save a half million, we got to kill 20 million, 30 million, 40 million? See, that's the thing about triaging stuff. Like, you could say, I'm going to get that heart surgery I need, but I'm not going to feed my grandchildren. No, you wouldn't get the heart surgery. You'd feed your grandchildren. That's what this world's all about, ladies and gentlemen. But the selfishness of wearing the mask and getting into it and being a drama queen. And, oh, you're good. You wore your mask. It's all dog training. Oh, and then there's this one. Can we pull this up for TV viewers? I want to show a color version of this. You can't really see it in black and white. China implements social distancing hats for elementary students. And they wear like 2-foot dowels on the sides of their heads to bump into people and to keep them away from each other. And you can't really see it in the black and white. You see it, but not as... Wait till you see the color one. We'll pull it up. That's... Look at that. That's the Communist Party says, dress up like a clown and show you're submitting to this, because what you're really going to submit to is a vaccine and a tracker chip. But right now it's wear a mask. Oh, I don't wear this mask anymore. All I get's the new chip. Oh, all I do is take the vaccine and I'll have finally on my phone that I'm safe and I'm good and I'm not a suspect. And then the whole thing is a giant rollout, and every mental patient and every weirdo is getting off on this thing that you're raping them. It's like universities say don't get 6 feet from people and, you know, don't have speech and don't clap because it's sensorily hurt. It's all about just being basket cases. So you're not productive. So human industry and civilization breaks down and everybody starves to death. And people go, man, that's a nightmare vision, Jones. You've got a sick brain. No, I never thought of any of this. I thought of other stuff. A lot of really beautiful things. I'm not thinking about this stuff. I didn't come up with any of this stuff. They write big articles. They have like one yesterday going, Jones is an incredibly dark poet. He could beat Stephen King if he wasn't such a con man to sell protein powder. You know, he the stuff he comes up with is just so nightmarish. And he's like the new H.P. Lovecraft. I didn't come up with any of it. Zero, zero, zero. You came up with it, you psychotics that built this thing. And that's the Stockholm Syndrome of the left. I mean, their poetry is about aborting babies and death and destruction and just insane. And then they look at me and say, this guy says we're bad. We just want a social distance to save human lives. Even though the leader of your group, Bill Gates, says he wants to depopulate the planet and kill all the old people. And publicly, his dad ran Planned Parenthood. And he's a eugenicist. And it's like you're not listening. Let me just say it this way. And it's the prodigal son. He runs off with a family inheritance. His dad gives it to him. He comes back a decade later. He's the second born. He only got part of the inheritance. And the firstborn is running everything great. And he comes in. He says, why are you throwing a party and killing the best calf for my brother when he's a loser? And he's been gone 10 years and ran off with his inheritance. And I've been here and been faithful. The dad goes, I love you 5,000 times more. Can you imagine the party I'd throw if you'd run off and come back? We got to make him feel good for what he's done, dumbass. That's what this is all about, ladies and gentlemen. Can you imagine? I'm not here. This is not for the people that are already awake. This is for people that aren't. They are the ones that matter. Because the globalists are going to organize them into paramilitary armies against us and are admitting it. Bill Clinton's foundation is running a brown shirt group, community organizing, giving law enforcement medical power, emergency eugenics power to an army of tracers to have access via big tech to everything on your phone. They've dumbed the masses down. Now they're going to turn loose an army of them. You could not come up with a bigger, more nightmarish scenario if you tried. Army of medical brown shirts being created on a national level. And that scary headline doesn't even do it justice. So let me do this. It is a let me explain why they want to shut this show down, okay? Trump knows this. The Defense Intelligence Agency knows this. Large sections of other agencies that aren't suicidal maniacs and want a pro-human future understand now, okay, globalism is really bad. It's as bad as we heard. My job is to decompartmentalize. At the top, Trump knows all this stuff now. But he doesn't have a way to go into the generals and those under him and go, by the way, it's a planetary extermination plan, and they're going to incrementally roll it out, and it's a post-human carbon tax algorithm AI system, because they're not ready. Our job is to, quote, radicalize the military, the police, the general public with stuff that sounds completely outlandish and crazy because it's true, so that Trump can then do this. Trump up front tried to say this is a hoax. This virus isn't a big deal. Let's not lock things down. The public got into it. The blue states, the blue cities had too much power. And so Trump was unable just to get us to take it and say, hey, we've always had pandemics. Yeah, it'll kill 100,000 people, a million, whatever. We can't shut down the economy. That'll kill even more. Trump knew all this. I didn't tell him that. They just asked, how am I inside their heads? Well, we're at simpatico. And so that's where we are, is I can say the things Trump can't tell you. And that's my job. And I do say that with extreme pleasure. Because there's a big debt to be paid. And I will pay it. When we come back, I'm going to hit the rest of the story. How to stop these people. Stay with us.
Yippee-yi-yay, yippee-yi-yo, Ghost Riders in the sky. An old cowboy went riding out one dark and windy day. Upon a ridge he rested as he went along his way. When all at once a mighty bunch of red-eyed cows he saw plowing through the ragged sky.
Yippee-ki-yay.
And up a cloudy draw.
All right.
Yippee-i-yay-yippee-i-o.
Ghost Riders.
Ghost Riders in the sky.
And all of our ancestors are here right now.
Brands were still on fire and their hooves were made of steel.
We got a few tricks up our sleeve, don't we?
Their horns were black and shiny and their hot breath he could feel.
A bolt of fear went through him as they thundered through the sky. He saw the riders coming hard, and he heard their mournful cry. Yippee-yi-yay, yippee-yi-yo.
Ghost riders in the sky.
Ghost riders in the sky.
What was their message to the cowpoke?
Their faces gone, their eyes were blurred, their shirts all soaked with sweat.
Yippee-yi-yay.
They're riding hard to catch that herd, but they ain't caught them yet.
Never will.
Cause you gotta ride forever on that range up in the sky, on horses snorting fire. As they ride on, hear the cry.
You gotta go find the song. You wanna hear what they actually cried? I didn't mean to play that song. I was listening to it. I don't wanna go sit out on the back porch somewhere and drink some beer and just listen to music like that instead of this. This would be so easy to beat, and I don't want to let folks down here because I did a lot of preparation for this show. I look at all this news, and there's just an apocalyptic atmosphere to it. There's no other way. Like, I've been on air an hour and 22 minutes, and I haven't plugged, even though if we don't plug, we go bankrupt, one time, because it's just, there's like the feeling like, is Colonel Travis the Alamo, like, sending letters out for help? He's not sending letters out for money. I mean, and I think we'll hold on a while longer, folks, but I want everybody to understand something. We're not in the regular season here. This is sudden death overtime Super Bowl. This is everything right now. And I said this yesterday at the start of the show. I'm not choking. I know you're not choking. But the fact that it's all confirmed, as bad as we thought and worse, is a shocking thing. But I'll tell you the good news. And that's really what I've got for you here today. And I sat here for like an hour before I went on air. I said, what do I lead with? Because the lead is what people care about, what they remember. And is the lead that they're openly trying to make me bow to him, is the lead that the virus is man-made and comes out of Wuhan. They admit that now, and Fauci's involved. Is the lead that they're creating brown shirt groups that are going to go around and forcibly inoculate people? Is the lead $135 million people set to starve to death this year, the UN says, because of COVID? No, because of the shutdown. What is the number one story? And you know what? It is that. All other stories were dwarfed. Not Alex Jones facing down the barrel of a gun. Not Americans that have been living in the lap of luxury for decades, all spoiled, bitching that, you know, we might lose our house, even though it's bad enough. How about your child is begging for food and the bones are sticking out of their side because you worked at a farm that delivered food to Europe, or flowers that were grown for Europe. It's one of the biggest industries. Or you worked at a mine and it's closed now and there is no food. And when there's no food, you're out in the middle of a town. There's men with machine guns at the food commissary, but they never list your child as starving. They always die of a cold or a flu because they didn't get any food. Those are real people dying. And I just can't sit here with my big screen TV and my American muscle car and my hot wife and my kids and everything else. Like, oh, that's just some Africans. You know, they pissed me off bringing them into America. And, you know, you can get rid of them anyways. See, that's how the seduction works. Do I want a bunch of Africans brought in as weapons and brainwashed and put on the dole and taught to vote against me and take my guns? No, no. But there are slaves. They're being used against me. I still value them as a person. And I know that we're killing them. But I'm a slave too, aren't I? A slave to fear. Unless I say, I will not submit to you. And it's that idea, that spark that threatens the globalist. So when we come back, I'm gonna load myself up like a guy getting in a cannon or a man putting his head in a tiger's mouth. And I'm going to do my best. Because we should all be choking right now. We've sat back and allowed evil to run completely rampant over everybody. And we thought that somehow it wasn't going to affect us. I knew it wasn't going to affect me at a subconscious level, being a wimp. But I knew it. You knew it. We all knew it. But now, man, we're staring into the headlights of something that's going to run our ass over. And all I'm saying is, I know you're tough. I know most of you aren't scared. You just never had a clear target. And so now we kind of reach that point of asking, what do we do? You know, instead of getting up here and always telling you what's going on and what's happening 99% of the time, and I might spend 1% of the time telling you what I think you ought to do. I love taking your calls to see what you think we ought to do. This is just such a big deal. It's kind of like reading a manual on heart surgery, but then you got to do it and you got to actually cut somebody open and do it. I know none of us want to do this. But the heart stopped, and it's like the first cesarean they did. We have the term cesarean from the son of Cleopatra with Mark Antony, and the baby wouldn't come out, and they'd done the surgery before, but it was known as a cesarean because it was experimental, and it was successful. And nobody wanted to do a cesarean. But you got to do it, or you fold. Again, I can't take their money. These people are scum. They stink. I can't even be around them. But then that's not enough. It's not enough to just not take the money. You got to do the cesarean. You got to do it. Doesn't mean you got all the answers. Doesn't mean you're even a doctor. But metaphysically, you got to try. And that's what we're going to do. States of America. Well, if I represent anything, it's the United States of America and Texas. I'm a throwback. The last line of defense. And so are you. But think twice. That's my only advice. To Bill Gates, who do you think you are? Bless your soul. You really think you're in control? You're not in control of nothing.
Well, I think you're crazy.
I think you're crazy.
Just like me.
And when I was young. Enough of Norris Barkley. Enough pontificating. Let me do this. Let me just try to quantify this in a scientific way as best I can. The decision was made ...2,300 years ago in Greece to establish a order, a plutocracy, that would keep the general public away from knowledge and empower the establishment. And then everything else you've seen from that has been an extension. And you ask, why do the communist Chinese go along with that and others? Because it's the same mindset of these elitists. They want to secure their power. They want to expand it. And they want to block other upstart groups that would challenge that power, which then kills innovation and kills the human spirit. Then, after the Black Plague, 500 years ago, Europe loses about 40% of its population. The old corrupt establishments get devastated. Christians, real Christians, are able to get a hold and say, we believe in a human future and a future of the individual. And the first private businesses are established. And the printing press, the Gutenberg press, is invented. And from that point, 500 years ago until now, it was an empowering force. But you're seeing the authoritarian attempt to take control of that now. And so I want to be very, very careful here with everybody. If we do not stand up for the hundreds of millions of people that will starve to death in the next year to 2 years, if we do not stop the lockdown and just gut up and face what's happened, and if we allow the designed collapse of civilization, the post-industrial world that the United Nations and the Rockefellers and Bill and Melinda Gates admit is their plan, from a selfish perspective, you will be reduced from your hoity-toity rich Western society to third world in a kind of purgatory while the third world is exterminated. And then you will then move from that middle position to the starvation position very quickly. And this is all part of organizing and glamorizing forced inoculations and COVID-19 lockdowns and austerity and how we're all heroes. But all the math says the opposite. All the models were fake. 50 at the top times off. The bottom, 15 times off. They said 5 million dead. 2 million dead. All this crap. And again, within that is the paradox. People go, well, wait a minute, Alex. You're saying this is a man-made bioweapon. You're saying it's a chimera. It's a damn chimera because it has to be original and new and not organic. It's a corporate patented alien. Just like everything the first big pharma did with the Rockefellers 150 years ago was to take natural botanicals and make them a drug and then ban the sale of botanicals through apothecaries. They used to call pharmacies. They were called apothecaries. Everybody knew that plants and stuff worked. So they first synthetic that, and then they ban the original. That's what a body snatcher does. It doesn't just take over. It gets rid of the original. It gets rid of the bona fide because it's the counterfeit. So when we have the United Nations executive director of the World Food Program coming out and saying 135 million people are going to starve to death because of COVID. It's not COVID. It's the lockdown that's killing real people. So when you've got some virtue signaling hero wearing their mask, even when the governor of Texas and others have said you don't have to, virtue signaling to you, that's just getting you ready for the forced inoculation. And the shutdown is killing millions of people as we speak. That's the reality. And if Trump starts talking about that, and if we start talking about that and get back in their face where they're the moral high ground, and they're saving everyone, and they're these great people, and we go, no, you're the ones doing this, it's game over. Now, I've looked at this UN guy, and I've studied him. I don't think overall he's a Satanist. Because a really smart Satanist would go out and get a well-spoken guy that means well to raise money. So he's like, we got 130 million dying. We need money. Well, okay, because of the policies your agency put out that it's supposedly our boss now. So you make it an issue about this, not about, oh, give money to the UN to then feed starving people, which they won't even do. The plan's to kill them. You explain it's the UN doing this that then always siphons the money off and doesn't help people. It's game over. And I feel a huge responsibility, ladies and gentlemen. If there was one African child or one Middle Eastern child or one Asian child or one Eastern European child or one Latin American child that I met and I talked to and I said to them, I'm going to try to help you. And then if I didn't deliver to them, my life would be ruined. Well, you have millions of children right now that don't know what's going on. They know mom and dad's lost the job. They know they're eating bugs. They know mom's down at the river trying to get snails to eat. They know their sister just died. Their brother just died. They just get skinny. They get sick. And that's how when the globalists threaten to kill me or put me in prison, I'm like, really? You're like starving little kids to death. You're like, well, there's too many of them. Then you die first. You know, the day Bill Gates gets up on TV and he takes a ice pick and just shoves it right in his eye and goes, there's too many people. I'll say, well, I got respect for that guy. But until then, I don't wish any harm against Bill Gates. My point is, you want us to die, but you don't ever decide it's you that needs to die. In your little pink shirts, you look non-threatening. You know, if Hitler wore pink shirts, he'd have won. And now Zuckerberg wears pink sweaters. It's all just because they know genetically you're not, you know, they like a black uniform's coming to get you. It's just a little pink shirt. Like, oh, I got a shot for you. I've got a pink shirt. You can shove that pink shirt up your ass. Be right back.
This program contains language and sequences some viewers may find disturbing.
The nation and all of our freedoms hang by a thread, and the military apparatus of this country is about to be handed over to scum, who are beholden to scum, Russian scum.
Please listen. If you don't, if you won't, if you fail to understand, then the same incredible terror that's menacing me will strike at you!
The function of all life is survival. Sleep. Sleep. Sleep.
Oh my God. Lock the door.
They're coming! They're coming! Help! Help! They're coming! They're coming! Listen to me! Listen! You're next, please! Please! You're next! They're in danger! Please, listen to me! Something terrible! Please! You're next! Here they are! They're already here! Come! You're next! They're coming! They're coming!
Sleep. The seed is planted. Sleep. Sleep. Terror grows.
Sleep. Elizabeth, wake up! Get you when you sleep! Sit up!
Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
All of a sudden, they're growing like parasites. Is it contagious?
Trump, free all the homies.
It looked right at me.
You need to get out.
You're looking at it as if it was human. It was not human.
Now, the classic fear begins to grow.
We're being cornered.
In a modern masterpiece of science fiction.
They're barricading the street.
Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. It's Alex Jones.
You know, I've not been choking out on air. It's just that 26 plus years on air and everything we've done is just coming to this point right now. It's so epic. People overuse the term epic, but this is the epic time. The These are the times to try men and women's souls. Wow. Think about the UN World Food Program head, director of World Food Program, saying 135 million people are starving to death right now. And we know those numbers are real. It's like 10 million a year usually. It wasn't going to be 30 million. Now it's this. There's a total shutdown of the entire system. I have a huge stack of just red line, insane, crazy, like your pension funds are gone. Yeah, I mean, I'm not trying to scare people. But at least you're not going to be dead. Because they think you have bought into the fear of this virus so much that they can just carte blanche, do whatever they want. These evil people cooked this all up. They even did tabletop exercises, admitted it all. And if we buy into it and go along with it, we deserve it. I'm not a Stockholm Syndrome kind of guy, though. And I just want the people doing all this to know that the tens of millions are starving to death, it's your fault, Bill Gates. It's your fault, YouTube CEO. It's your fault, Sundar Pichai of Google. It's your fault, Democratic Party. And it's President Trump's fault if he goes along with it. You know, I was the guy 10 weeks ago that went, hey, this is a big thing in China. They're going to use this to shut things down. They're going to have the Democrats shut things down. They're going to make Trump look like he's behind the curve by not going along with some of it. He's got to at least say he's worried to take control of it. That didn't mean go the whole panic road. And we were right about that from a Machiavellian view. But maybe we were wrong. Maybe Trump was right up front to just say it's all a hoax. I was wrong. President Trump was right. I had people whisper in my ear and like, oh, we'll play politics. And, you know, who knows how really bad it is. And then when it isn't that bad, Trump will be a hero. And I'm like, okay, yeah, and they'll blame Trump for it. Yeah, that's right. Exactly. So don't let them blame him. But you see the trap now. It never ends. It never stops. Newsom says, you can't go to the beach now. How dare you go get sun? Stay in your house and die. And, you know, David Beasley of the World Health Food Program, the director of it, he's up there collecting money for the UN. They'll never deliver. They'll do a few PR stunts with a Angelina Jolie. Oh, here, little African child. I'm so nice to you. Here, here's your bag of rice, starving black baby. When they engineered the whole thing and admit they want depopulation and admit that they say that person is subhuman. And just because they brainwash black people to hate me because I'm trying to, like, stop this doesn't mean I'd, like, go, well, okay, well, just go along, go ahead and kill the black people then. The general public's brainwashed as well. And I don't take any sick solace in this, but I do in that I don't receive it. I don't accept it and chortle in it. But, I mean, still, to know something is to do it. You know what I mean? All you dumbasses that love kissing ass and love Stockholm Syndrome and love complying, your world's over. And I don't take pleasure in all the dead kids and the starving people. But you're getting what you asked for. Like those of you that don't care, but, oh, you virtue signal all your whole life and, oh, you love brown people so much and all this crap. When your whole movement's about killing their asses, I could just sit back and go, huh, you're about to get some big old servings of what you've been doing. So you go ahead and kiss your ass goodbye. Because it's not going to be Alex Jones that's coming to kill your ass. I don't run around the middle of people's neighborhood stepping on dog crap. You're going down by your own decisions. And you're as dead as they come. So enjoy that. The Christian hedge, what the West built, England that banned slavery, all the world, all that's been, you just threw that aside. for your virtue signaling. And now you think you're safe in this world you've created. All you've done is destroyed your own atmosphere. So I hope you enjoy yourselves, because you're going to get a big old heaping helping. And your little left, well, I mean, you know, there's too many third world people. Yeah, too many of you. You're going to die. How about that? And you killed yourself. So step up. All you left is say there's too many people. Slit your wrist today. Take those pills today. Get out of the way now. I hope you don't commit suicide, but you just keep telling us how we're bad. Well, then, before all these little kids die, how about you get up there first? You know, the earth can only do so much. Well, walk the plank. Show us how it's done. Show us how the big man dies. Show us, Bill Gates. Show us how the big man does it. I'd respect Bill Gates if he, like, got a 357 Magnum on air and said there's too many people, just blew his hat off. But see, I'd always no harm upon Bill Hicks or Bill Gates or the Easter Bunny. It was a little joke for the internet. I just don't know what to do about something like this, where these people want eternal war and eternal death and eternal corruption. And another Bill Clinton, is up there with his youth brigades. He wants to turn loose on us. Let's play a clip of the UN food health head. Here it is.
There are a further 135 million people facing crisis levels of hunger or worse. That means 135 million people on Earth are marching toward the brink of starvation. An additional 130 million people could be pushed to the brink of starvation by the end of 2020. That's a total of 265 million people. Our analysis shows that 300,000 people could starve to death every single day over a three-month period.
So that's the name of the whole show today. We're live right now. But 300,000, the UN says 300,000 starving to death, 300,000 could starve to death a day under COVID lockdown. But the left's like, well, I mean, there are too many brown people. You're like, but you're the one. Because, see, they know the average Christian cares about everybody, no matter what color you are, pink, brown, whatever. But see, they go to us, oh, do what we say, or it hurts the brown people. But they're the ones hurting the brown people. From the beginning of this, 11, 12 weeks ago, we knew that a lot of the videos out of China were fake. We knew that they were trying to create as much fear as possible. But we also knew that the virus was man-made. And so we had to take it very, very seriously. We now know why it's man-made. That's so Bill Gates, who financed the whole thing through sub-companies on record, can control the rollout of the vaccine, because you could never have a vaccine for a cold virus, because there's thousands of them in the corona family every year, thousands of different mutations. But if you make an entirely new alien, and that's what it is, it's an artificial chimera. Those were just in fabled Greek legends before, you know, creatures that were made up of three or more animals. Chimeras. And so it's out there, and I said 11 weeks ago with Dr. Steve Pachinik that this was already in the population and that they already knew it and that a lot of folks had already died from pneumonia-like symptoms. And it's a tough virus. But the response to all of it and the hysteria.
I think that this is mass hysteria. We should calm down and just look at the facts. And if we do, we'll see that people under 60 who are infected have a death rate of zero.
Mass,
O que tínhamos que conter naquele momento era o pânico, a histeria e, ao mesmo tempo, traçar a estratégia para salvar vidas e evitar o desemprego em massa.
When you have so-called intelligent people tricking the utterances of a 16-year-old girl with biblical truth as to what the climate's going to do in 60 years' time, let alone 100, and now all this coronavirus stuff, we surely must be in the age of hysteria.
And now it was in the New York Times yesterday that, turns out it was already in the United States in November. But still, we've all got to stay locked down, ladies and gentlemen. This is the end of civilization as we know it, and a predatory AI globalist robot economy takeover. This is the equivalent of Pearl Harbor when the Japanese struck. This is the first official launch of the end of the rest of our lives. Now, remember, I'm the one that laid this out absolutely specifically in the last 26 years. And I've been telling you for 26 years that Bill Gates is the front man for the large robber baron fortunes headed up by IBM that his mother captained. His father ran the World Eugenics Society after it was made illegal in Europe and it went underground. They run the whole thing. And they believe they are exterminating you to save the earth. And I'll just say something. I'm not going to join Bill Gates because it forfeits your soul. But if you go along with this, and if you don't spread the word, and if you don't stand up for your children and others, you are deserving of what happens to you. Because if you're going to let these people kill you and your family, then you deserve what happens to you. We are back live, and there's a lot of craziness going on today. We had this guest set up a few weeks ago, and it's an important guest, so I still got him coming up. I'll tell you about who that guest is when we come back to the next segment. I was busy reading a bunch of documents over there in the corner before we came back live here. But this is the globalist takeover. And it's an insane moment to be alive, isn't it? But everybody that thinks so far your Stockholm Syndrome has gotten you ahead. Everybody that thinks complying has gotten you ahead. You're about to get a rude awakening. Compliance to the New World Order is death, death, death.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
All right, we're into the third hour here today, and I wanted to get Mark Passio, an author and researcher and talk show host from whatonearthishappening.com on to talk about natural law. And, you know, he's gone around and investigated a lot of different occult groups and trying to give his perspective on what they're up to. But I wanted to get him on a few weeks ago. He's here on the show in the middle of all of this insanity. So up front in this segment, I want to get his view on what's currently happening, the forced inoculations, the world government plan. It's come out that General Flynn was totally set up, that the FBI lied on the 302s and even bragged about it. They were so secure they were going to get rid of Trump. That Comey, dirty cop Comey, has now been caught trying to set up Trump and Flynn. That's on InfoWars.com. It is just crazy, this time that we're all alive in right now. And you've got Project Veritas out there investigating, getting banned on YouTube and places for showing the hospitals are empty. That's now all admitted. Well, now Project Veritas, New York City funeral home directors claim COVID-19 deaths inflated. It's all coming out. This is the big thrust. It's the big takeover. It's the invisible enemy. The Clintons and Governor Cuomo and Governor Newsom have announced that they're never going to end the lockdown and that they're going to have brigades of private citizens going around policing you and forcibly inoculating you. Folks, you cannot make this up. It's all on Bandai Video. But going to Mark Passio right now, who's joining us. Mark, thanks for coming on. in the time we've got, like 9 minutes of this segment, what do you call this time we're in? I see it as a globalist emergence, their attempted operation to shove us back into fear and control.
Well, Alex, thank you so much for having me back on the show. I personally refer to the time that we are in as a species as cosmic judgment. This is what I have referred to it in my work in the past on numerous occasions. I think humanity is really being judged on a cosmic basis as a species. My show on whatonearthishappening.com always begins with the concept that we are at a choice as a people. This is our critical moment of choice. And this is it. This is what that saying at the beginning of What on Earth is Happening refers to, and I refer to that as a point
of judgment.
I totally
agree with you. We are under total judgment right now.
And, you know, what's really happening is people are being placed. It's not that anything is really changing in people. It's that what's happening is what's inside of people is being revealed, their true spiritual nature. That of what they worked on themselves as a person, how they developed themselves, how they developed their soul as a human being is
exactly
actually being revealed.
Everything is being magnified right now. Like, I got to be honest with you. I've never been super reckless, but now I'm like 10 times more aggressive and not backing down. I feel my very essence is magnified right now.
Absolutely, because what is in a person is going to come forward even more. And if people haven't done that internal work, you're going to be able to see it very much displayed in the public eye, you know, because we're seeing who is in a deep state of fear and who is not controlled by fear. See, fear is what they want to generate as the personal state of mind. That's what this whole psyop is about. Not that the virus isn't real. It's an actual disease. But the whole point is the fear that is being hyped is not warranted because this isn't
exactly
such
the hysterical stampede. The UN admits is going to kill 135 million people in the next 16 months. And it's like, nope. Well, screw them. I'm wearing my mask. I went on the hike and bike trail this morning at like 6 a.m. and there'd be people 30 feet away, like jumping to the bushes away from me because I wasn't wearing a mask. I mean, it's like it's all virtue signaling. But you're right. They're worshiping a fear. They're worshiping the fear god.
Without a doubt. That's what they want to hold people in, because people in fear don't make rational decisions and they're far easier to control. See, and I look at things from a much more causal relationship. I try to get down. I think what sets my work apart from others is that I get down. I don't so much focus on the 3D worldly events as I do
the psychological. Exactly. Not the latest events, but the larger constructs of why they're doing this.
That's right.
So let's start there, Mark Passio. Why are they doing this now?
Well, what they want to generate is the state of fear to make people more easily controllable. But there's a causal factor of human fear. People never look at the why. They never go down to the causation. Okay, that's what my work is all about, getting down to the why of things. Why does anyone generally fear anything? The root causal factor of any form of fear is ignorance. We fear as a species, we fear as individuals, that which we don't understand. When you have knowledge, that dispels fear. It dispels the ignorance, and therefore it dispels the fear.
And that's why the occult tries to keep it hidden.
That's right. That's what hiding knowledge is all about. Because if you can keep people ignorant, that is the driving causal factor of keeping them in a state of fear, a fearful state of mind, and therefore they become easier to control. Then what's the result? What do you get manifested on the other side? Cowardice, and inaction is the result. And if there's anything that I can 100% agree on what you have said, Alex, it is that God hates cowards. The creator of the universe hates cowardice. We are here to be bold and brave and to move forward in the face of our fear and to dispel our fear with knowledge, to dispel our ignorance with knowledge, okay? And if we don't do that, we are not using the tools that the creator has gifted us with. And if I could say that the creator of the universe, I would never usually say that it hates. I wouldn't even ascribe that human quality. But if I could say that it hates any aspect of humanity, it hates cowardice the most.
Well, it's true. God hates cowards. So the crazy thing is everyone getting into the cowardice is the ones that get destroyed.
That's how it works. I mean, you know, it's not so much that, people, are just inherently ignorant and fearful. It's that they're buying into this media manipulation. They actually believe that the mainstream media is telling them anything that resembles the truth. They want to believe that because they don't want to accept the worldview that would have to be developed on the other side, that this is a deliberate agenda, that it is driven by lies, it is driven toward harming more people, not toward helping more people. And you know what this whole event has really showed me is that the mainstream media has far more power than we've given it credit for to manipulate people's minds.
Oh, yeah. They uncloaked here. They showed us the big dogs.
Sure. And the freedom movement doesn't want to believe that. You know, they want to believe that it's, being relegated to the realm of dinosaur media and it's not doesn't hold the sway that it once did over people. I don't really agree. I think that it's really has still a lot of hold over the human mind and keeping people in this level of fear.
By the way, from
people
somebody that coined the term dinosaur media, I was simply saying it was the old system. It would try to take over this system. But I totally agree with you that no, it's more powerful than ever because the people have become so domesticated.
And because of the censorship that's being done by the tech giants, that's contributing hugely into mainstream media.
Well, let me ask you this then. Instead of kissing Trump's ass, which I know you don't do, I want to believe in the president. But, you know, he's talking about forced inoculations next year. I mean, what's going on with Trump?
He's playing way too much of a political game, obviously, and I never really placed too much trust in him. I kind of sat back on the sidelines, waited to see if he would do anything regarding any of these losses of freedoms. I think the only good thing that he has done in his presidency is pointed out that the established mainstream media is a joke and fake news. And other than that, he's gotten really very poor grades in trying to reverse any of the course of totalitarianism that this country is going down and has been going down for a long time, as far as I'm concerned. And it's unfortunate because I think he was in a position to much more educate people and, you know, help people to understand, you know, true rights if he really believed in that. So I'm personally disappointed, but I never really put too many eggs in that basket personally to begin with.
Well, sure. Trump was a manifestation of people wanting to get out of this. It doesn't mean that, you know, he can control everything or do miracles. But no, I hear you. And I'm watching very closely. You know, he says, oh, we're going to take on China over this. But then the other article is, oh, we got Fauci's got an inoculation for 300 million Americans. Mark Passio is our guest. He's with whatonearthishappening.com. I watch his shows. I like his shows. I think he's an informative guy. I think he's a good guy. And my wife watches his as well. We're going to come back with him then and get into the big picture today and where he thinks this is all going and how people can empower themselves not to be programmed and controlled. But this is one hell of a time to be alive right now, folks. Anybody that's on the sidelines, you need to know there's no such thing as a sideline right now. There are no sidelines in this fight. This is for all the marbles. And I, from my own view, we'll talk to Mark about this when we come back. I just see things getting more intense from here out. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Our guest, I'm Alex Jones, your host, and I got to tell you, the InfoWars success rate got turned up from like a 1 to about 100 in the last few weeks, and I don't say that with pleasure. They got drones over the office. They got the FBI parked out in the parking lot. When I'm able to tell you about all this, it's incredible. I've had lawyers calling today saying, don't talk about it yet, Jones. But it's not just me. They're coming after everybody. So people ask, well, thanks for your courage. My courage? It's not courage standing up against this. It's survival. It isn't some magic thing. It's default. You better do it. But Mark Passio, you've got a lot of points to make. You're a smart guy, and I enjoy watching your videos. I wish you put more out because sometimes you're sparing. It took a few months off. We were missing those. But what on earth is happening, the name of your show? Because Bill Gates is suddenly going, okay, my vaccines are going to kill a lot of people, but you're going to take them. And they're hiring youth brigades now. The Democrats have announced it. Folks, I'm not joking. You just tuned in. There's like video of Bill Clinton going, we're hiring all the youth to come to your house and make sure you take shots. It's like suddenly They go from preparing it behind the scenes, we warn people, to the emergence is here. And just for me, it's like we knew this demon was about to be born. It's now here. What do we do?
Well, if I could sum up what on earth is happening in a very quick way, I would say that what is happening on this planet is mind control and ultimately slavery. And I think people need to stop euphemizing things and call them what they are. You know, that's what's happening on Earth. Humanity is an enslaved species, and we are under mind control as a species. And that is, you have to have spiritual weakness to go under mind control. You know, it's like spirituality, true spirituality, and truly being anchored in truth is like a shielding of sorts.
No, I agree. What you're saying is true. So why do some people have it and some don't? Because, people want to be delusional.
Courage. I mean, courage is that shielding. It's that armor, you know, and then knowledge, taking in knowledge about what is true, what is right, what is real, dispelling the difference between illusion and reality. You know, these are all themes of my work. One of the underlying themes of my work is the difference between that which truly exists in nature and the natural world versus constructural ideas that only exist in the minds of men and women. You know, that don't actually exist in nature, in point of fact, reality. And one of the things
false schools. So let me ask you this then. Yeah. What are they doing right now? I know it's about enslavement and control, but why are they launching it all now?
They think they have people's minds where they need them. And I can't disagree with that point. I think that they know that they really have through the forms of media that are embedded all around us and even through the types of waves that we are continuously bombarded with. I think that they think that they have human thought patterns exactly where they need them to actually seize physical control. And the reason is because of the ignorance that people don't know what true morality is. People don't know what natural law is. They don't know what rights are ultimately. And if you don't really know what a right is, you can never truly protect it. If you can't define something properly, you're not in a position to actually protect it.
Explain to folks what rights are.
A right is an action that does not cause harm to another sentient being. And 99.999% of humanity cannot give that simple definition and get it correct. And if you just do a social experiment and ask people if they know the actual definition of a human right, they cannot give that definition accurately. And that's the problem.
Yeah, rights are human actions that do not create what you call sin or a violation of somebody else's freedom.
That's correct. And rights don't change or become suspended in a crisis. Because
the exercise of rights only builds higher orders of civilization.
And higher levels of freedom. And that's because the law of freedom under natural law, under God's law, the creator of the universe, is that as people in the aggregate, in the collective, become more moral, they, in the collective, become more free.
So talk about your personal path, the 4 minutes to break, how you got involved, the things you saw in the occult, and what woke you up, because that could be a path for others to get out of that.
Oh, yeah, that's a sort of a long story, but I'll try to make it brief. And it's something that very, very, very few people in humanity have ever really undergone, because the amount of people that ever truly get involved in any schools of dark occultism are infinitesimally small. These are very small numbers of people who are truly running things. My background is that I became involved at some point because of disillusionment with religion and disillusionment with the institutions of humanity. I became involved in dark occultism.
Took you to dark places.
That's right. My search took me directly into Satanism. You know, I'll just be honest with people. And this is when I was in my late teen years, into my early 20s, and I became involved with an organization called the Church of Satan, but many other ancillary groups of Satanists, not just that organization on the West Coast. And I saw, through direct involvement with dark occult orders, and particularly satanic groups, satanic grottos in my tri-state area, that people in high-level positions of power in just about every institution in our society were Satanists and were involved in these types of satanic grottos.
And by the way, Mark, that happened to me as well. I never got actively involved, but they were trying to constantly get me involved, and I was like, 12, 13, 14, 15. And so I saw that as well. But that's a blessing, because that was actually a bird's eye view into it.
It opened my eyes so much that it drove me into very, very deep study of what was really taking place in this world. You know, until I actually saw the types of people that were involved in Satanism at the higher levels, I probably would have been one of these sleeping zombies myself and not questioned things to the level that I did. So it was a blessing in disguise.
Well, that's right. God works in mysterious ways. But that's the crazy thing, right, is to see they claim they're empowering. They claim it's about human advancement, but really it's just about enslavement.
Well, see, the whole point of me getting involved in Satanism is appeal to the ego. It's about taking in hidden knowledge that other people don't have access to or is suppressed in the population so that you can gain a tactical advantage over your fellow man or woman in any endeavor you happen to be getting involved with in your life.
Which, again, is the occult. You have the knowledge, they don't.
Right. And in my egoic state in my earlier years, that's what drew me into this circle of people and this type of knowledge. And then when I saw that they were really trying to enslave people, they weren't trying to just increase their personal power. They were trying to enslave others. And they
were trying
to
lower
God
people's power.
That's right. They want to be God. That's what it really comes down to. It comes down to they're trying to usurp the position of the creator as the lawmaker in the universe. The only lawmaker in the universe is the creator. Moral law is the only law other than physical law.
And no one can
be
above
physical
that.
Laws and that's right. That's why God is the sovereign of all creation, you know, and that's the lawmaker. And what these people want to do and people in government want to do is they want to usurp the position of the creator of the universe, and they want to become the maker of law and dictate what law is.
Wow, this is powerful. Dictate Mark Passio, whatonearthishappening.com. Smart guy. Really, we'll love watching his show. He's really smart. He knows what he's talking about. I've seen it, folks. I've seen it. I've seen the devil. And I came back from it. But not unscathed. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
We want your soul.
Defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic. It's Alex Jones.
It's all over the news. Your dogs are watching you. Our little friends, our psychic comforters are now watching us when we train to smell the COVID. And now parents under CPS investigation for taking children to the bank. We're all guilty. We're all suspect. You can't go to the beach. You can never leave. And the control never ends. And Bill Gates captains the whole thing. Mark Passio, I want to get you on more than every 6 months. You should come on routinely. You should host an hour a week if you want. But just, I've been asking questions here. What do you want to impart to the viewers and listeners when our audience is, let's just say, not just quite large, but very influential?
Well, I'd like to take them through a little bit of a progression that I would consider a stepping stone toward spiritual enlightenment, because that's what I really get into in my work. You know, I like to look at it as a science of spirituality, you know, and it's not religious, but it is very spiritual, and it's an understanding of what spirituality is all about, and what spirituality's end goal is freedom, true freedom for every individual, not just some. You know, and
now God's goal is freedom, but they put all these churches and priesthoods in front of it. What you talk about is absolutely true. That's what I've personally experienced.
That's exactly right. That's what the creator of the universe wants. That's what the will of creation is, freedom.
No middleman, and just us and God.
That's right. Then there's no middleman needed. Every individual should have a one-to-one connection with that creative power, you know? And the whole thing we have to understand if we're going to advance ourselves toward spiritual enlightenment is that rights do not change. Rights don't become suspended in a crisis. And there's a reason for that. Rights don't change or become suspended in a crisis because rights don't come from human beings. This is what people even in the freedom movement have to stop believing and thinking, that rights are like somehow granted by human beings to other human beings. No, rights don't come from human beings. Rights come from the creator of the universe. Our rights are endowed to us by creation itself.
So to interrupt, what was the moment when you're searching things out, different things, Satanism, all of it? When did you finally find God? When did you finally figure out it was a lie?
It took years. It took years for me to come out of that mindset after I left the dark occult. Years. Years of deep.
But it took years to get out of it. When did you
searching.
Make the turn to get out of it? Like a cruise ship takes time to turn, but like, when did you make the turn? What was it? Was like a
in the
midnight?
Late 1990s, when I went through what I would consider a very dark night of my soul and became extremely depressed and realized that only through knowledge and the understanding of the laws of nature, of the laws that God put into place in creation, was I going to really come out of that dark.
And exactly. People say, oh, the founders were a cult or the founders were Christian. No, they were beyond that. They were the laws of nature. They really got it.
And that's what's enshrined in the Declaration of Independence. And it was simple deism. It was the belief in a creator, a higher power, a creative power that basically created all the laws of the universe. And it also governs behavior because it created the laws of morality. We are not just bound by the physical laws. We are bound by spiritual laws, which are the moral laws of creation. It's what I call, referred to, and many other philosophers have referred to as natural law. And those are the consequential laws that are in effect that govern the results, the consequences of the behaviors that we choose through our free will.
If you don't discipline your children, you're going to get demons. I mean, or if you drink 5 gallons of whiskey, you're going to die of liver failure. There's like no laws.
Put your hand over a hot fire, there's going to be an inevitable, inescapable result. And the same is true with how we behave. Through our free will, we are free to choose our behaviors, but we are never insulated from the consequences of those behaviors. They go out into the world, have a ripple effect, and then create the reality that we must.
I used to always call myself a libertarian until I realized those actions create things in the universe that create a whole nother effect.
That's right. And, you know, I think I know that your audience has somewhat of a religious persuasion. You know, they may be a Christian, and I would consider myself not a church Christian, but what I call an esoteric Christian. OK, and I'm fine with that label even. OK, I don't even consider it religious. I think there is, again, a science that underlies spirituality. There's a science of morality. I'm actually making a documentary about it called The Science of Natural Law. And, you know, if we look at just the biblical allegory of the Garden of Eden, you know, I think it's something that your listeners would relate to a little bit. You know, that the creator forbids, his creation from eating the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But many people don't understand what that biblical allegory means. It means that the knowledge of good and evil actually means the understanding of the difference between right and wrong. And that the creator of the universe put those laws, put the difference between right and wrong into effect in nature. And what the eating of the fruit of that tree represents is taking that unto oneself. It doesn't mean physically consuming it. Allegorically, it means that you are taking that upon yourself and taking that into yourself in the sense that you are saying that you are the arbiter of it. That's
exactly.
What
you're saying, I can judge good and evil. Only God can do that. You are now entering into that mode instead of just following God's plan.
You can't say that you are the creator of it. You can only discover what it is because it already exists in creation. So the eating of it means you're taking it unto yourself, unto your own power to say, I am now the arbiter of good and evil, and I can say what good is, and I can say what evil is. I can dictate those things. I can arbitrate those things. We are not the creators of the laws of the universe. We are not the creators of moral law. We are not the creators of right or wrong.
So eating that fruit, we're saying we're God.
That's right. That's right. Instead of being the discoverer of those laws, we are again claiming that we are going to usurp the position of the true lawmaker, the creator of the universe, and become God ourselves.
But why
and that's
do the
what
Satanists
all
get that? When you
do.
Actually go under God and the natural law, then you get all the power, everything opens up. They keep thinking, right. saying their God does it, it all just malfunctions. I don't know why they don't know that.
Well, they do, Alex. They understand, from my being around them, they do understand natural law, and they reject it so hatefully because they feel that that is imprisoning themselves because they want to be able to
exactly,
do anything.
Like Satan, they're saying, no, I'm above God.
Right, exactly.
But it doesn't work and if so, it isn't God running it.
What they are trying to do is turn natural law upside down and escape the karmic debt consequences by getting other people to do their
explain that, because that's what Bohemian Grove is. It's a giant ritual to get out of karmic debt.
Yes, it's a Babylonian absolution ritual and a Carthaginian absolution ritual that comes down out of ancient Babylon and into Carthage.
Explain that.
And I'll, Yeah, so this is an absolution ritual to absolve themselves of their wrongdoings before they even do them. They are saying in advance of the wrongdoing we are going to do throughout the duration of the next year, we are going to perform this ritual called the killing of what we call dull care, which is our conscience. And by doing this ritualistically, we are going to absolve ourselves of all the wrongdoing that we are going to perform over the next solar cycle or the next 365.
And why are they so blind? Obviously, that doesn't work.
What? Because they think they're God. They think they can absolve themselves of their sins. They think that they can say what right and wrong are.
So they're not just priests. They believe they're God.
They consider themselves a priest class that itself constitutes being God on earth, ruling a prison, ruling hell instead of serving in heaven. Absolutely. And again, this is, allegorical as far as like, you know.
I was there with them. They took it deadly serious. They did the ritual. They were shaking.
I'm just trying to say my belief structure is that this is like allegorical. I do believe in a creator, a higher power.
No, I get you're saying it's allegorical. I get it. But yes. I'm saying with them, they believe they were committing like this most powerful ritual.
Yes. They absolutely believe in their rituals, and they believe that those rituals and the carrying out of them does have power in the real world, without a doubt. From all the Satanists that I was around, they firmly believe that in their minds. They believe in that power of what they consider magic or ceremonial ritual. So what we have to understand about their mindset, see, people have to research into Satanism much deeper. They have a Hollywood understanding of it, this Hollywood variant.
We got one more segment. You got to come back tomorrow, and you're absolutely right. Mark Passio is our guest. Because to know Satanism is to know the enemy, folks. And I'm sorry, it's real. They're going to get killed by death. You know, the Grim Reaper is sent by God. Killed by death. Of what on earth is happening.com is our guest. I respect him. I think he's a smart guy. He's a real guy. Kill that. So let me ask you this. If Satanists got their Valhalla, if Satan was in full control, if he was God, what would you do? Just like tear humans apart in pieces as a vandalism against God because we're made by God? Because I think that's things people need to get is it doesn't matter how much we serve Satan. Satan hates us because who made us?
The Satanists and dark occultists of our world want the powers of a god that have been attributed to what the creator is and can do, meaning know everything, control everything, be anywhere at any place, and never be able to be dethroned from power. And that is what they are setting up the earth to be, a prison that they rule over, that people cannot even see that they are that these dark occultists are in power and that the population is enslaved. That is ultimately what dark occultism is about creating on the face of the earth.
And can't the servants of it see how weak they are? Like they're pathetic.
They believe they're going to be in a special class of people that, has more rights than everyone else and is essentially a ruling class where there's, then a slave class beneath them. But they don't understand that they're completely owned and controlled by the dark force, the entropic force within creation, the chaotic force, which has been, traditionally called Satan.
The God's a sadist. God, God let this happen. Well, if God has to give us free will, all a God could do was create new potential gods. And I'm not saying we're all gods. I'm saying the potential of the universe, little g, image of God.
Yeah.
Like if I'm going to have children, they might be bad. They might be good. But I mean, I've got to – having them is giving them free will, is creating a new sentient being with free will.
All right. We are lowercase c creators, and I would consider that we are co-creators collectively of the human experience. And we are given free will to be able to create through our behavior anything. And what we have essentially allowed ourselves to be manipulated into creating is a prison for ourselves. That is one of the saddest things, but it's also very true.
And you've been saying that for years, and now, boy, yeah. Is it obvious. We are building our own prison.
Sure. See, what people have to understand is that the creator of the universe endowed everyone with exactly the same natural rights. No one has been given any more or less rights. This is what it means to be equal under natural law.
Explain that declaration. We're created equal. Doesn't mean we're equal. We're created equal.
That's correct. Doesn't mean we have the same characteristics or abilities or anything like that. It doesn't mean sameness. It means equality in our natural rights. No one, no individual has any more natural rights than any other individual. We all have the right to do the same behaviors which do not cause harm to other sentient beings. When we break that, when we do behaviors that are harmful, which are murder, assault, rape, theft, trespass, coercion, willfully lying, we are harming others. We are stealing something from them that isn't our right to take, whether it be their freedom, their property, their wellness, etc. Okay? No one, and here's the other thing people have to understand, to truly become more spiritually aware, awake, and enlightened, you have to understand that no one in the world who doesn't possess individually the right to perform a particular action inherently can grant or delegate that right to perform that action upon anyone else. See, this is what the dark occultists tell people that they can do. You know, they say, okay, an individual doesn't have this right, but we can set up a group of people calling themselves government, calling themselves police, calling themselves military, and they can perform these behaviors to people or stop them from performing behaviors
and now,
that we say they don't
want to. It turns out the Clintons are behind a new brown shirt division that will do forced inoculations in America. This is their full assault, and they always build the same paradigm over and over again.
Well, order followers are always manipulated into carrying out the wrongful actions that the satanic order givers above them that are truly their masters want them to do but won't do themselves because they don't want that
karma. Why are the evil leaders so weak? Like, there was some super badass dude with lightning bolts and stuff I could see following him. The leaders of evil are like jokes.
Because modern sorcery doesn't have to do with shooting lightning bolts out of your hands. Modern sorcery is all about the manipulation and control of the human mind. This is what people have to understand that Satanism really is. It's the influence and control of the mind with really dark, mental manipulation. They understand – they're ancient psychologists. They understand more about how the human mind works than anyone else. They're ancient, high-level practitioners
psychology. Like Bill Gates has been doing it for the last year, but now Zuckerberg, who admittedly works under him, they wear pink sweaters because, if Hitler wore a pink outfit, he would have won World War II. It's like, oh, I'm wearing pink. It's just so obvious.
You know, they always try to play into the emotional mind control of people. They always try to make people think we're looking out for your best interests. We care. And nothing could be further from the truth. And that's because they have to manipulate people who would generally want to do the right thing, you know, and get them to believe
that. Evil people are manipulating good people to sign onto their mission.
Yeah. And then they're taking on, especially the order followers, they're taking on their karmic debt. That's how they're going to escape the karmic consequence in according to the laws of creation, the spiritual laws of morality. The people who are really the high-level manipulators, they're not going to take on the bulk of the karmic consequence.
They trick us to be the enforcers. They know what they're doing.
That's right.
That's why
they understand how natural law works.
This vaccine is going to kill a lot of people. He has to tell you that.
Right. It's because they understand how natural law works. They understand how free will works. And they can't outright really truly break those laws, but they can bend them. They can manipulate people into breaking natural law themselves as individuals. And this is what all order followers have always done since the dawn of human civilization. They have actually.
What do you think Gates thinks he gets, though? Like his mother, IBM, his dad, a eugenicist.
Wants worldly power, and he wants control physically over other people through whatever the technology they are going to unleash, put in the vaccines, control and track through technology and computing and wireless technologies. He wants to be a controller. He's a control freak. Control freaks ultimately deep down inside themselves hate themselves. Because they have no personal power. They're weak, pathetic individuals who have no personal sense of power in their minds, in their hearts. They're not truly loved or can truly love. Okay, they have a weakened sense of the soul. They have a weakened sense of self and of emotions. And they're like deadened, soulless husks of beings to begin with. And so what they want is a sense of power. And so because they've been treated wrong or been undergone trauma, or they have just felt a sense of low self-worth and just, you know, just have this sense of self-loathing their whole lives, they just want power over other people to make themselves feel some sense of power in their lives, because they never had any sense of power. All the money in the world never brought them any sense of self-peace, of peace of mind, of self-worth. And that's what's going on deep inside these people psychologically, is that they hate themselves so much they have to transfer all of that and dump it onto other people and try to control them like a little control freak. And because they can't even do that physically, because they're weaklings, they want to do that technologically, and they want to do that through the manipulation of the human mind.
In your research into the Satanists, did you run into Michael Aquino, because they're putting those articles on screen?
Well, oh, of course. I had some ancillary affiliations with people who belong to the Temple of Set, although I never became an official member of that organization myself. I did know many people who were involved with it.
And again,
and I tell you right now, Aquino is a sick, sick individual who got involved in experimenting how to really torture people with electricity. Electronic torture was one of his fortes. And this guy became a general in the army. You know, that's who gets promoted in the armed forces, Satanists who experiment with electronic torture. And then, of course, he was implicated in all the traffic of children in pedophilia scandals through the Presidio military base and, you know, funneling them into Washington, D.C. He facilitated all of that.
I ran into him once. Never did a day's jail time.
You know, never.
I ran into him once.
Really?
I haven't told that story yet. It was a football game in Dallas, in Rockwall. And I remember there was these really rich people that were there and all this stuff that was going on. And they were all Satanists. But it was like crazy. And all of a sudden they're like, oh, here's the colonel. You want to meet him? And I remember I put the pictures up of him. He's sitting there with those stupid eyebrows. I remember, those are ridiculous eyebrows, but sure as hell, yeah.
If people want to read into what this person's mindset is, I would highly recommend downloading his book called The Ruby Tablet of Set. The Ruby Tablet of Set, if you could find that online. Check it out. It'll tell you what his ideology is and what he thinks of human beings. See, people have to understand, Satanism isn't what Hollywood has portrayed it as, going out and having rituals in the forest, sacrificing animals and stuff like that.
Stop banging hot cheerleaders.
Yeah, there's some elements of that somewhere deep in it, but it is ultimately a worldview. It is a way of
seeing. Let's explain the satanic worldview straight ahead. Nothing matters.
Finally, nothing moves. High noon.
Black.
Rolling below the asphalt drive.
A concrete fascination. By the way, I told that Aquino story not to create some big hysteria. I remember. It was him. One time at a football game in Dallas. And that's an older story to tell sometime. So there's not much the story. Not much the story. But it was him. All right. We want to get you back next week, Mark Passio, if you'll come on, to get into your journey through the occult, your awakening, what happened, what you think's happening next. I'm fascinated with your work. And I should just say you should do more work, because I go check your site and your YouTubes and stuff. I'm like, oh, I need more. Like, I'm walking down the bike trail, like one thing every 2 weeks. Give me more here. I knew who you were before. Liam McAdoo's a big fan. I've followed your stuff. I've seen it here and there, but my wife's a big fan. We watch it all. Just in closing, hope. How do we turn this around? I mean, what do you think we should do right now?
Well, I think people really have to study and understand what natural law is. And they could do that, first of all, by looking at my natural law seminar, which is on my YouTube channel. You can get to that on the videos section of whatonearthishappening.com. Just go to the videos tab, and the natural law seminar is the first three videos on the video section. I would highly recommend that. I highly recommend people check out my podcast, which is the audio section, and then I transformed it into a video podcast last year. And that has the very deep study of my work. It goes very in-depth in the audio and video of the podcast. So I would highly recommend people check that out, which is is also on the site in the podcast section. And I recommend starting from number one. Don't listen in reverse order or out of order. Start my podcast, What on Earth is Happening, in order. Start at number one.
Does that get the progression of your thought that way?
That's right. It's a very detailed, stepwise progression that you're not going to understand episode 100 unless you've listened to the 99 episodes that precede it. So keep it, do it in order at your own pace, and I guarantee you a tremendous understanding of what's really taking place will unfold for you if you want to go deeper into this knowledge.
Because you're right. They want our consciousness. That's what they want.
They want our soul. That's what it's all about. They want our soul. That they want the destruction of the human soul. And the more that they get, the more happier and well-fed these psychopaths are.
What that? Where do they come from? Who? What is this group?
It's a entropic satanic force that has been with humanity from the very beginning.
No, I know, and, but I mean, obviously, it's not human. What I'm saying is, where does it come
from? At some level, it's an imbalance. It's evolution.
I'm saying, are we manifesting it?
I would say it's part of the universe. Evolution needs a whetstone to sharpen itself against. It needs a force to struggle against, and that's called the force of entropy in creation. And a lot of people don't understand the opposite of that is syntropy, S-Y-N-T-R-O-P-Y, syntropy. That's the evolutionary force. That's the force that creates
that's
more
complexity. That's the acceleration to godhood.
That's right. More intelligence, more complexity, higher levels of morality.
But you don't just get that without a test.
Have to work for it. And that's why it's called the great work. That's why working upon your soul and then helping others to work upon theirs is referred to as the great work in the positive schools of occult.
Yeah, they'll spin that like, oh, that's the Masons. No, the Satanists all steal God's systems and then say that's theirs.
They can only ever twist things. They never really truly create.
And then Christians, mainline ones, get scared of knowledge because they think, oh, that's Satan. Satan just said he owns all that. He doesn't.
Of course not. The creator of the universe created this as this place as a learning experience. We are here to learn and grow and evolve as individuals and continue on to ever greater forms of evolutionary development. That's what the whole scheme of creation that the creator put into effect is all about, naturally.
You're absolutely right. Well, I've seen it. I'm sure you've seen it too, Mark. It's amazing, and one cannot talk about it. They have to see it. Mark Passio, thank you so much for your time. God bless you. We look forward to you want to come down to Austin as soon as the planes are flying in. We'd love to fly you here. Come back
next
week,
okay? Absolutely. Let's do it. Thank you, Alex.
Get Mark on next week. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Live, raw, and unfiltered. It's the Alex Jones Show.
Jason Jones, a major filmmaker, a patriot, a guy 5-6 weeks ago came on the show and said, hey, these hospitals are empty, these clinics are empty. Now it's all confirmed. They go, oh, yeah, they are empty for COVID. Before, it was a conspiracy theory. He's about to take over. He's got three guests at this hour, then the war room's coming up. The crew was telling me, hey, Alex, you say we need to fund our operation. You haven't plugged on air one time in 3 hours. We've got high-quality, storable food that I think everybody should have the last 25 years. It's in stock right now. Get your orders in while you still can. We've got krill oil. Let me show people a shot of this, and we'll go to our guests. I could pay $3 or $4 to get good krill oil. I pay way, way, way more than that because this is the highest grade anybody's got. Look at those red pills. You talk about vitamin D3. You talk about good for your heart. I mean, this stuff is incredible. And I can literally be exhausted at 10 o'clock at night and about to do some interview. I pop three or four of these, which you're only supposed to take like one, an hour before I go on air. Incredible. It's back in stock, 50% off. It's been sold out 4 months. This is the highest grade krill we can find. If somebody's got a higher grade krill, it might exist, but we don't know about it. Our body's ultimate turmeric formula, 95% curcuminoid. All the things it does, they are so pissed this exists and God gave us this. This is amazing here. Let me tell you, if I want to have some dreams, good dreams, I'll take two of these before I go to bed. In fact, all the time when I'm plugging in, I'm like, why not take more of this? Like, it's like you're not even supposed to. It's so crazy dropping these pills everywhere. The point is that I'm proud of this product. Dropping them all on the floor now. And I hope that you'll get them for yourself. It funds our operation. Hell, we could be selling placebos, which we're not. And it would be good to fund us, right? What we do. But these products are real. They're amazing. I had a lawyer ask me on the phone the other day. He goes, it's okay. He said, but just tell me, is your stuff real or is it just a placebo? And I was like, do you know about fish oil? He goes, oh, God, I take it. It's so good for your heart. Well, yeah. Do you know about PQQ or CoQ10? I was like, oh, yeah, I heard that. Like, why wouldn't I sell something that works? What planet? If I was a drug dealer, I'd want you to have the drugs that work the best. I mean, it's like, but these leftists and these globalists, they're just so into screwing people that they can never even get like a restaurant. I'd want to have the best food that you enjoyed. It was a good price. You come back over and over again because I like you being happy. I like making money. I like being successful. It makes the whole thing go round and round. So I'm done talking about it. Jason Jones of movietomovement.com is taking over right now. I want to thank the crew. Mr. Jones, take over.
Aloha, Alex. Thank you very much. It's a privilege to guest host your show. I just saw a meme this morning, and it was a picture of Nazis burning a bunch of books. And it said, this is not what book burning looks like today. And then it showed your YouTube channel has been removed. This show is a book burning. This is the most censored show in the history of the world. What a privilege to be on The Alex Jones Show. What a privilege to guest host The Alex Jones Show. If you've ever gone to a bookstore, Barnes & Noble, they'll have the banned book end cap, and they'll have books that were dangerous 300 years ago to a king somewhere, an emperor somewhere, hated the book. It was dangerous to his regime. And people go to the banned book section, and they feel like they're rebels. They're not rebels. Watching InfoWars, watching The Alex Jones Show, this is the rebellious thing to do. This is the program that threatens gods of the city. And that's why my guests today all do that. My first guest is a writer, an activist, Yvonne Florzak-Seaman. She's the founder of Power. And her first book is A Time to Speak. And there is a god of our city. There is an idol that the media refuses to topple. And Yvonne Florzak-Seaman is challenging that idol, Joe Biden. Yvonne, welcome to the Alex Jones Show.
Thank you so much for having me, Jason. I'm very excited to be here. And I'm very excited that Alex Jones has given us a platform to be heard as women. And for some of us, for the first time, because women's voices are just not being heard. The NOW organization does not speak for us anymore.
Well, the reason I wanted
sick and tired of their agenda.
Well, the reason I wanted to have you on, there is a woman, Tara Reid, who has accused Joe Biden of sexual assault. We all saw that Brett Kavanaugh was being doxxed and destroyed for allegations that were absurd on the face of it just a year ago. And now we have allegations that seem much more credible. And I'm not one of these people that says believe all women, but I think we need to hear all women. And I don't think the mainstream media is doing Joe Biden a service by burying what seems to be credible allegations. If they're not, let's get to the bottom of this. Why is the mainstream media and the abortion industry working double time to undermine the credibility of Tara Reid? And why do they refuse to cover the story? Your organization is to fight for women.
That's right. And that's what we've been called to do, to be a voice and give these women a platform to be heard. This woman's reputation has been destroyed by so many publications out there, news media, talking about her as if she didn't even have a case. Yet with the Kavanaugh hearings, they went back to his high school yearbook. Okay? They had absolutely no evidence. They destroyed this man's reputation. This man was a man of integrity. And what we're seeing today, Jason, is a double standard in this country. And women have had enough. It is time for women to take back their power. Power stands for protectors of women's equal rights. And as a Hispanic woman who once upon a time voted on the Democratic ticket, I voted for Bill Clinton. I voted for Ross Perot. I vote for what's best for this country. And if the Democratic Party thinks that Joe Biden is the best thing for this country, then God help us all, because none of us will ever know the America that we grew up in. This is a coup. They are trying to take our country over. And it is time for us to understand that we need to get in front of this war as women and make sure that our voices are being heard. And Tara Reade's voice, whether or not she has the information necessary, okay?
I mean, this
we still have to give her, we still have to give her a voice. Nobody's even asking the damn question.
Yvonne, these producers are amazing. They're showing the Larry King clip. By the way, I remember being a student just out of the Army watching this Larry King episode, was taken aback. It was such a shocking interview. This woman that called in. Could you imagine if there was some call in of the Kavanaugh's accuser's mother on a radio show in 1982? You literally have this call in, and it's just swept right under the rug. Is it that the abortion industry has been so effective and the mainstream media is making abortion a woman's right to destroy her child in her womb, which no woman wants?
Just so that we're all clear and what the power movement stands for. We're here to empower women. And the reality is that up to this point, we haven't had a movement to come forward and fight against the NOW organization. Okay. And the time has come now for us as women to make it very clear to the power and the abortion industry that abortion has nothing to do with women's rights. Abortion is a billion-dollar industry that gives men a get-out-of-jail-free card who don't want to stand up as men of integrity and take responsibility for getting this young lady pregnant and for taking something that didn't belong to him to begin with. Okay? Has been since the beginning of time.
Yvonne, we got about 30 seconds left. I don't want to get between you and whatever you're going after, so I'm worried for Joe Biden and his men. How do women and men join this your movement to take back power for women away from the abortion industry, away from men like Joe Biden? Well, how do they find you?
Our link is takingbackourpower.org. They can get involved by joining an army of women who have had it with the ridiculous. We are going to start speaking for ourselves. Us as women, though, we're not going to do it with the ugly hats on our heads. We're going to do it like
Thank
our
you,
first
Yvonne.
Lady with our Gucci's and Pradas and Louis
Vuitton. Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since.
Don't know much about history.
Welcome back to hour four of the Alex Jones Show. I can just listen to this bumper music all day. I want to say something. No one asked me to say this, but last week when I was trying to book Brad Martin, we had Brad Martin on the show. He's the stunt man, action director, stunt coordinator behind the documentary Out of Shadows. And there's no more extreme athlete in the world than a stunt man. And he is one of the best stuntmen in history. And their body is their instrument. And if they are not in top shape, their life is on the line. So I asked him, "Hey, what supplements do you recommend?" And he sent me back a photo. This is no joke, of his cabinet. And it was filled with Alex Jones' supplements. It was filled with the supplements I've been seeing marketed on the show. I'm not a big supplement guy. So I wanted his advice. And he sent me back what Alex was talking about at the beginning of this hour. So I look forward to start using those supplements. In the end of the last hour of Alex, he had a guest on talking about natural law. And with this Orwellian Brave New World lockdown, just when I think they will never shock me, just when I think they've gone as far as they can go, Bill de Blasio ups the game. He doubles down. He says, "I can be the dumbest guy in the world. I don't care what your governor does. I don't care what your mayor does. Watch me one up him." And this week, he literally sent a tweet out to the Jewish community where he threatened them to send the police to disrupt their funerals. And so I made a FaceTime Live rant about this. And as I was ranting, I just started saying, you know, we've known about the natural law before Christianity. We can go back to Sophocles and his great play Antigone about about this young girl whose brother rebelled against her uncle Creon. And when he was killed, the king, Creon, said, you cannot bury your brother. For punishment of death, all rebels, if you bury them, you will be punished with death. And then his niece buries her brother, and King Creon brings Antigone before him and says, didn't you know my law? And she said, don't you know there's a law above you? There's a law above all kings. There's a law even above Zeus. And then it just hit me as I was ranting in this FaceTime Live. Bill de Blasio is literally playing the role of King Creon, denying the natural law, denying there are any laws above him. And if he thinks this Jewish community is going to kneel to Creon de Blasio, he's lost his mind. And one of my favorite writers, someone who writes often on natural law, is Stephen Harriet. Stephen Harriet, welcome to the Alex Jones Show.
Thank you very much. It's good to be here.
So you're a new father, so you must be tired.
Yes.
Do you have like a week-old baby?
I've been sleeping about as much as it's rumored Trump sleeps, which is about 4 hours a night. It's been good.
4 hours a night. Wow, my. So, well, welcome to the Alex Jones Show. Now, what did you think when you saw, I really didn't believe it. When I saw someone post about it, I said, that is not accurate. And then I went and looked at Twitter, and it's very accurate. What is your take on de Blasio?
Well, it's true. Like, I couldn't believe it at first. I thought it was a parody account or something. And immediately what I did is I sent it to my representative, I sent it to my mayor, and I sent it to my governor here in Wisconsin and said, how are you different from this? If you don't denounce it and promise not to go further in this direction, we Wisconsinites can never trust you again. So that's something that I would encourage all of our audience members to do. Just screenshot the tweet, send it to them, email it to them, call them about it. How are you different from this? But you're right. It's exactly like Creon. It's the parallel is amazing. And one of the thoughts that occurs to me is it's great that he's attacking in a way. It's not good, but it's kind of convenient that he's attacking the Jewish community, right? Because it's awesome that the Jewish community and we are both inheritors of the same thing that Antigone intuited by the light of reason, the natural law, as you mentioned. And in one of our favorite movies, I know you and I both love this movie, Jojo Rabbit. It made me so proud personally when this line was spoken by the Jewish character who's being pursued by the Nazi state against natural law, right? She says, there are no weak Jews. I am descended from those who wrestle angels and kill giants. We were chosen by God. You were chosen by a pathetic little man with half a mustache. And that pathetic little man with half a mustache is de Blasio. It is King Creon. It's these pathetic rebels against the eternal law. And it's just awesome to be on the side of something immortal, just like the Jews, just like Antigone.
Yeah, but it is the mystery, isn't it, that when you are on the side of the transcendent truth, all ages, war, all temporal powers are angered by, because they are hemmed in by, the transcendent moral order. And I think maybe the reason why traditionally it's been Jewish and Catholic writers that have appealed to the natural law, I think especially from the Jewish community, they were outside of political protection or they were a minority and they had to really understand what do they have to appeal to? Well, after every trauma, political trauma, there is a resurgence in natural law theory. And after World War II, even though the world, the decadent West, that had spent two centuries denying the natural law, at Nuremberg, they couldn't bring themselves to say natural law. So they called it supra-positive law. There's a law that is above the posited law by man, man-made law. Even at the very edge of the Holocaust, they could barely utter those words.
Yeah, and the great thing about the Jewish heritage is, A, I love the fact that it's ours now, because as Christians, we inherited the Old Testament, right? The whole Torah is incorporated into Christianity, so I love that. But yes, they learned from hard, real historical experience. You know, in Exodus, you right away, you have an example of a premier example of a Creon-like defier of natural law in the Pharaoh, right? One of the first things he does when he gets threatened, he's feeling threatened by the fact that the Jews are growing numerous and that they're strong in Egypt, is he orders the Jewish midwives to commit partial birth abortions on their own people, all of the boys, he says. If you see the baby coming out and you see it's a boy, kill it. And they defied him because they knew there was a law above him. And the Bible tells us in Exodus, God saw that and was pleased by that and blessed them, and they grew all the more numerous, and they were rewarded. Soon after that, of course, they were given the natural law in the Ten Commandments. Because, of course, at least in the Catholic tradition, St. Thomas Aquinas, as you outline in your book, The Race to Save Our Century, Aquinas even says that even the Ten Commandments and all the revelation in the Old and New Testaments actually confirm the natural law. And the Old Testament Ten Commandments is, in fact, a revelation-based confirmation of what is actually discernible by our reason, which is discerned. I mean, we know that because Antigone discerned it, didn't she, before there was revelation for her. So,
yeah, and I think all people who have experienced injustice understand, they know it's unjust. And so if they know that they experience it, they know it. They may not be able to articulate why, but they know they're experiencing injustice. My hope in this present brave new world that we're experiencing, it creates a renaissance of people looking towards the natural law and demanding that our legislators, our governors, and our judges now acknowledge the natural law and the limits of government. We got 30 seconds. Finish this topic up and tell people how to follow you.
Yeah, I was just going to say, for all young people, you know what? Plug into the natural law. You got to. Just Google it. Find out about natural law. It'll make sense of the world for you. I'm Stephen Herriod. I can be found on Twitter at Stephen Herriod. So that's my conclusion.
All right, Stephen Herriod. God bless you. Thank you for being on The Alex Jones Show.
And God bless you.
Book. That was cool. That was cool. Welcome back to Hour 4 of The Alex Jones Show. I am Jason Jones, host of The Jason Jones Show, and it's a privilege to be filling in. Alex was just talking about bloodthirsty monsters, and it really is hard to believe in our age, in our time, we're battling bloodthirsty monsters. In my home state, we have an unemployment in the state of Hawaii higher than the Great Depression. Our media refuses to cover it. Our politicians refuse to talk about it. They are months behind on unemployment payments. There are young single mothers with children, multiple children. The schools are closed. They don't have money. The food banks are strained. And while this is all happening, as entrepreneurs are scraping and clawing to keep their businesses afloat, as the rest of the world, the Horn of Africa and India, are approaching a biblical famine, as the New York Times reported, the abortion industry in the United States continues to push to make. They don't want legal abortion. They want legal back alley abortions. They want to make as much money as possible with no government interference, and nobody is standing in the way. Well, not a lot of people are standing in their way. But my next guest, Teresa Bukovniak, is a force to be reckoned with. She's a pro-life activist, vegan, feminist from San Francisco. And welcome to the Alex Jones Show.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
So what you have to report to me and to the audience, it's a bit unbelievable. In this country already, you can get the quote-unquote morning after pill, which is a chemical abortion in the very early stages of pregnancy. George Bush's director of the FDA, Andrew von Boschenbach made that available over the counter. We have men slipping the morning after pill into their girlfriend's smoothies. It's happening all over the country. They're being convicted. But that is not enough. There are chemical abortions with the dangerous drug made in China, by the way, RU486. And there are reports now that the abortion industry is using this crisis as cover to make the dangerous later-term chemical abortions, RU486, available without a doctor?
That's correct. That is correct. As we know, the abortion industry has historically had two primary goals. One is population control, and one is to make money. And the expansion of RU486, the abortion pill, not to be confused with the Plan B, which is a contraception. RU486, the development of that drug helps accomplish both of those goals. It allows the abortion industry to make more money and to expand abortion access so that they can commit more and more abortions. And as you mentioned, the abortion industry has been working for years to try to make RU 486 more accessible than it is today. Now, it is accessible through any abortion facility, but the FDA does require that you must go to an abortion facility in order to confirm a pregnancy, to have an ultrasound, and then the drug is administered there. Now, the abortion industry filed a lawsuit in Hawaii in 2017, trying to get the FDA to remove these guidelines so that they can simply allow the RU486 to be prescribed, for example, at a pharmacy. But now with the new age of telemedicine and with the threat of COVID, the abortion industry and in particular Genuity, some clinical trials that are occurring throughout the country right now, their goal is to make abortion available by mail through simply a conversation with a supposed pregnant person, and to expand abortion into basically every home in the world and turn every UPS driver into an abortion provider and literally every doctor's office in America an abortion provider.
You know, what's really heartbreaking about that and that Hawaii, again, is at the tip of the spear of waging war against the inviolable dignity of the child in the womb is early on with the release of the abortion pill, we had a young girl in Hawaii. Her parents walked in. She had hemorrhaged and bled to death. They found their daughter, a young teenager, in a puddle of her own blood, dead. They never even knew she had taken RU486. This is a very brutal drug. And that powerful film that I know you saw, Unplanned, the story of Abby Johnson going from Planned Parenthood Employee of the Year to pro-life leader, they depict in that film a chemical abortion. And it really is an RU486 abortion. And it's really brutal. I have friends who've had surgical abortions and they've had RU486 abortions, and they say the RU486 abortion was exponentially more traumatic. And we have these suicides, and a newscaster in Australia, it is said she committed suicide following her RU486 abortion. Oftentimes you'll see the contents of their pregnancy in their toilet. So this is a brutal experience, and they're pushing to have these women have this experience with no real human connection, with no one communicating what they need to be prepared for.
Yeah, that's correct. I think that we have to be very careful about what we're going to remove guidelines for in terms of from the FDA's perspective. We know that the importance of being able to confirm a pregnancy exists in the first place is absolutely crucial. Before you ingest RU46, being able to properly date the pregnancy, ensuring that there is no ectopic pregnancy, and to prevent abusers, like you mentioned, from being able to access these truly life-ending drugs for the unborn members of our community. So when we're talking about when the abortion industry tells us that they're here to support women, and yet they're asking the FDA to remove safeguards that would ensure that women are not dying from RU46, or at least minimizing that possibility, then we know for sure that their interests do not lie with the welfare of the community or the health of women. This is about making money. And even deeper than that, we know that these ties to the development of RU46, to the clinical trials that attempt to expand teleabortion, that all of that is working in concert to expand abortion for population control and for financial gain.
Teresa, you are an activist. You're very progressive. I think you and I would be on opposite sides of most issues. But this issue seems to be something that all people of goodwill would agree on, that women should not take dangerous later pregnancy chemical abortions without very intense medical supervision. I'm pro-life, you're pro-life, but even people who are not. Do you see, as you're in San Francisco with San Francisco Pro-Life, do you see people waking up to the brutality of the abortion industry and that they're just driven by profit?
Yes, we gain new activists all the time. There are people that come to us from all walks of life that are just, you know, maybe just having some concerns about elective late term abortion, or having concerns about early term abortion. And this just even breaking into that mentality a little bit, just being able to access, you know, people from throughout the community that have various views on abortion, once they start discussing these issues, and especially because San Francisco is such an anti-capitalist community, there's so much animosity towards, you know, the wealthy elites that, you know, control the governments and that, you know, are oppressing people. So when they are confronted with the reality that Planned Parenthood is that type of entity, it is an organization that is structured to profit off of the vulnerable,
Teresa,
and profit off of the marginalized.
Teresa, we have only 30 seconds, and Alex Jones has a very broad, diverse audience. And I think a lot of them are like, this is my kind of woman. This is who I've been looking for. How do people find you?
You can find me at Teresa Lynn, T-E-R-R-I-S-A-L-I-N, on Twitter and on Instagram. And you can find us at Pro Life San Francisco. That's ProLifeSF.com. We're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we're on Instagram, and we are...
Boom.
When we look at the challenges facing us today, through the lens of the 20th century, and the modern ideologies that claimed almost 200 million innocent lives and the virtues that could have saved those lives, you might well feel dispirited. You and I are no match for demagogues who craft big lies to turn ordinary people into genocidal mobs. We cannot take down all the sophists who weave from fashionable half-truths a silk shroud to mask our everyday evils. Even the stories of heroes who risked all they had in the fight for human dignity can seem impossibly out of reach. We can tell ourselves that we are not made of the same kind of stuff, the fiber that lets a man defy his nation's government, its ruling elites, its secret police. We are just regular Joes and Janes, and life will not ask us to make this sort of sacrifice. It had better not, because we will fail. But that is a lie. The same kind of lie that subhumanism tells us about each other, about our neighbors and spouses and children, and especially about strangers who look or think or pray just a little bit different. The heroes among us prove that this simply isn't true. The texture of their lives and the sacrifices they made prove that each and every one of us can do more. We can be better. Neither Jerome Lejeune nor Marianne Yap nor Jerzy Popiescu was born with special powers, wearing a halo or in a manger. Ordinary human beings like me and you, they were confused and frightened and tempted. Each one of them could have made very different choices, could have trumbled along and averted his eyes from the truths that were being trampled. Subhumanism, for all the intellectual or political masks it wears, says just one central thing, that man doesn't really matter all that much, that there is nothing in us that exceeds or transcends the ugliness of Darwinian competition, the limits of biology, the inevitability of death. That is a lie. And we can treat people as if they were robots, ghosts, or beasts. We can starve, enslave, imprison them, or kill them. But that doesn't change the reality. If we look up and also within, we find the mysterious image and likeness of God. We will discover the truth that we and our neighbors have an incomparable beauty and worth, a dignity that no one can take away. Our thousand-year Reichs, our workers' paradises, or this brave new world are ghastly fantasies that human beings create and that history duly comes along and exposes. And what is left behind, bruised and battered but still unbowed, is the face of man, as noble and as beautiful as Adam reaching out his hand to the God who made him. We will remember that, and we will do what is needed. We will feel from the depths of our hearts to the highest flights of our imagination a love of the good, a hatred of cruelty and smallness of soul, and a loyalty to each and every member of our family, the human family. We will fight to enshrine the basic principles of decency in our political, economic, and personal lives. We will have courage. We will prevail.
All right, guys, I made this for you just yesterday with a friend. And the reason I did that is I want to give you my book at our cost for a donation of $20. If you go to thegreatcampaign.org, you get the book. That includes the book, the packaging, and the shipping, thegreatcampaign.org. When I wrote this book, I had you in mind. Imagine if there were a way to undermine the globalists, Soros, the WHO, Bill Gates, without really knowing what they were up to, without having to unravel every scheme, every strategy, and every tactic. I set out with that goal as a young undergraduate, and I gave myself to the 100th anniversary of World War I, 2014, to publish the book. And together with political economist and philosopher John Zmirak, we worked on this book for almost 20 years to come up with five core principles that if we advance in society, will unravel every totalitarian scheme to rob us. And what makes the Alex Jones InfoWars audience so special, as you know, I have friends who are religious about InfoWars who are Bernie bros. I have friends who are libertarian. I have friends who love Trump and despise Trump. But they have one thing in common, that they go to InfoWars, that they watch Alex Jones, that they know the mainstream media isn't giving them the truth, that they are, even if they disagree on many important things, what they share is a very real concern for justice, a very real desire for peace, a real desire. And that is most people. Most people we know, most people we know want their children that live in a country that's peaceful and prosperous. And they want to go with their grandchildren to go to good schools. And they want the guy across town who has a different religion, different complexion. They want his kids to go to a good school. They want his children to live in peace. They want his children to live in a safe neighborhood. When I started writing that book, well, we were in the midst of writing that book. Well, actually, I didn't bring John on yet. I was in the very early stages of developing the book, right prior to the invasion of Iraq. And I remember at the time thinking my son was still very young. He was 11. And I thought, if we topple this regime, two horrible things are going to happen. Number one, the American people will leave. And the Christian minorities, the Jewish minorities, the other minorities, the Kurds, the Alawites, the Yazidi, they'll be left alone and they'll suffer in genocide. My other great fear was that my own son would have to fight in that war, because we're a military family. I was in the infantry. My dad was in the infantry. My grandfather's, my uncle, my brother fought in Iraq. And you know what's sad? My son fought in Syria and in Iraq. At a time I was actually in Iraq, my son wasn't too far away with his unit working its way towards ISIS while I was with the Peshmerga, the Kurdish fighters, documenting their battle against ISIS. And it was heartbreaking for me at the time to know that my son was there and looking at the damage that was done to the Yazidi and the Uyghurs. Now we look around, we see the economy shut down all over the world. They didn't tell the average Joe 8 weeks ago the shutdown would lead to famine in the Horn of Africa. They sold them the shutdown. They scared them to death. They obliterated subsidiarity. They obliterated the influence and power of those institutions closest to you and me. And the WHO dictated policies that influenced every little community around the world. And they sold us a lie. They scared the American people, the people of the world, to death. They shut down the global economy. And now the New York Times tells us, oh, we're approaching a famine of biblical proportions because of the shutdown. Really unbelievable. I wrote about that 3 weeks ago. I've been talking about it since the Italy shutdown, because genocide and democide famine and war, something I've been obsessed with. All those books behind me, that's what they're about. But I want to give you the information on the principles that you can advocate. If we promote a culture where everyone understands that every human being has an inviolable dignity and beauty and worth, from the child in the womb to the elderly in an old folks home in New Jersey who are being neglected in the midst of this COVID crisis. If we acknowledge there's a law above the laws of man, de Blasio, King Creon, there's a law above you. Subsidiarity, if we kick unelected, unaccountable, distant bureaucracies out of our communities and say, you don't tell us anything, go away. Bring power close to the family, close to the community, close to the people. That's subsidiarity. If we recommit ourselves to protecting private property rights, you are the king and the queen of your castle. That is your castle. And private property rights, that is the foundation of a just social order. That is the foundation of prosperity. The number two causes of death in the past 100 years, famine and totalitarianism. And really, most of those famines were caused by totalitarian governments. Stalin in the Ukraine, Mao starving tens of millions of his own people, the Khmer Rouge, the communists in Ethiopia destroying the grain surplus. So really, the biggest killer has just been distant, unelected bureaucracies making rules of what they know not. And finally, which is everyone that watches this show has, if you're an Alex Jones info warrior, you have a commitment to solidarity. It's not every man for itself. It's not I'm going to just hide away and be a survivalist and do my own thing and take care of my own family. It's we're in this together. The only way we save our families from drowning is not getting the best place on the lifeboat. It's making sure we don't hit the iceberg. Till next week, what a privilege to host the Alex Jones Show. They might try to burn the book, but it will rise.